This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann.
Genuinely, I can't remember how you work any of this. Is it four now?
Yeah, just I have to press record.
Done it.
Press record.
Hello and welcome to the show that will not die. Coming up on the show today, 4:30, we have William Stone in the studio. That's literally all the info I've been given.
Underneath.
William Stone.
Underneath.
Oh, hang on. Talking about two North Downs new act competition. Is he running? Does he run that? Is
no,
that
I think
his?
He's in it.
He's in a
I
new
think
act
he's
competition.
He's in the new act competition, yeah, rather than running it. Oh, yeah, semi-final two with Clarissa Maycock, Anne Hurst and others. I don't want to mention any about William Stone.
So, coming up on the show today, we've got a semi-finalist
yeah,
of a
yeah,
new
yeah.
act competition.
Yeah.
Sure, he's lovely. Then at 5 p.m, Kitty Bang Bang is having a chat.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. How many times is this?
I think this will be her third or fourth.
I think fourth.
It might be her fourth time on the show.
Yeah, I think fourth.
Yeah.
Great deal of sexual tension.
I mean, if hopefully
between
on the
myself
fourth
and Kitty.
Time, something will really spice up in here.
I don't know. I was starting to think it was the other one.
Oh, Polly.
Yeah.
She's
Miss
not,
Polly Ray.
She's not in today.
No,
it's
that's weird, isn't
just
it?
Kitty.
I thought that was the one that was a goer for me.
Oh, sorry.
Then you brought Kitty in.
She's in for a chat.
Fucking liability, that one. She eats fire. She sets things on fire and puts them over her boobs.
She does.
Then at 5:30, Arthur McBain is in the studio talking about the trouble with Maggie Cole, starting on ITV1 on March the 4th.
Today's March the 2nd.
Star Wars Day.
Today's March the 2nd.
But it starts on March the 4th.
2 days away.
Star Wars Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Ian Boltzmann.
Sup, welcome to the show.
Did you sup?
Sup.
Sup.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah,
nice.
But I've always said it, Nat.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you've got something to talk about, because I've genuinely not. I feel today, like, really, the weather's appalling.
I
don't feel tired.
I don't know what it's like on today, which is 2nd of March, but on today, which is, don't know what day it today really is.
The other
but
one.
It's the other 20 one.
24th.
It is pouring down.
Absolutely hammering
it's
down. I've got drenched. I've got two coats on. I had two coats on.
Two?
Which I've never done. Yeah, got this on.
That's a hoodie, really,
hoodie,
isn't it?
With a T-shirt underneath.
Yeah.
And waterproof over the top.
And
yeah.
A hat you were wearing.
I was wearing a hat earlier. I'm not wearing it now.
An army hat, it looked
Can't
like.
Do it, because I wonder if I can. Do you think
Try
I can?
Try it. Let's pop it on and see.
Because if I can, I might keep it on.
I liked it. I came and was like, it's very good.
Basically, what we're doing
quite
listening
Quite Eminem, that hat, by the way.
Eminem?
Yeah, he's got a hat like that, and I like
what?
It.
What?
I feel strangely aroused.
That works still, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that looks good.
Now, do I look all right?
Yeah, you look good.
Or do you think I now look like I'm genuinely posing?
Do you know any words to lose yourself by Eminem? Any?
Nope.
What did he do? My name is?
I know, ass like that, which I could probably change to a hat like that.
Do that.
No.
Well, I'd like it.
This hat, Natalie,
yeah.
was designed.
Yeah.
Actually, see if you can guess who it was designed by. So I'll give you this much. A musician.
Was it Miles Hunt?
No. So describe the hat.
It's like, I thought originally it was a baseball cap, but it's not really.
Well,
it's got
is.
The peak on the front of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It is in army colours. It's got the kind of khaki, dark green, the brown.
Any designs on it?
Not that size, apart from those two eyelets. Oh, yeah, it's got a bird on it.
It's a dove, that.
Dove. It's a dove. Dove. No, dove. Wings of the dove. Madness.
On the
Madness
back,
got
on
a song with a dove. It's got peace on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a musician that designed it.
It is a musician, yeah.
Male or female?
Male.
Musician.
Play along at home, by the way, listener.
Yeah, if you think design the hat.
It's got a dove on it. It says peace on the back.
Any of Madness.
Sort of khaki colour, doesn't it?
Was it Prince? He did When Doves Cry.
No. Is it slightly weathered? Do you think it's weathered?
Weathered. Weather with you. Crowded House. Want a crowded house?
No, that's not. That wasn't a clue.
Oh, okay.
I was asking. It's on my head. I can't see it.
Not really.
It's got like marks on it and stuff, which were on it when I bought it.
Okay, so it's army hat. In the
it's
army
50
now.
Quid.
Status quo.
I should tell you. No. No, I don't think status quo design hats, do they?
No, I don't know many singers that design hats. Fergal Sharkey.
No, you're thinking too UK.
Too UK, isn't it? international. Is it Stevie Wonder?
No. Fuck off. Did Stevie Wonder design your clothes as well, mate?
He's the first one. Lionel Richie.
Who cut your hair? Ray Charles?
Well, he's no longer with us. So
that's... Neither Stevie Wonder, of course.
No, he is. I saw him last year.
More than he can say for
Stop
you.
Stop it. Lionel Richie.
No.
International.
It was Carlos
artist.
Santana.
I mean, I could have got that if you'd given me some clues. Like, well, it's just Black Magic Woman.
At the moment, you just do. I don't know anything about him.
Oh,
see,
here's
the thing.
Okay.
I bought this. I didn't even know that it was designed by him at all.
Okay.
I just saw it and went, oh, that might fit me. And I put it on and it fit. I can't buy baseball caps.
Back up. What, the very loud was Limp Bizkit. Was it Fred Durst? Where did you get
have
it
you, have
from?
You finished?
Where did you get it from?
A shop. I bought it in a shop.
But like a thrift shop that sells...
No.
In a memorabilia store.
It's brand
store.
New.
A memorabilia?
No.
Where?
In House of Blues it was in.
Okay, I was going to say, what shop sells Carlos Santana's hats collection?
House of Blues, definitely.
Right, okay, fine.
But I would imagine beyond them as well, I would have thought.
Yeah.
But it was, I put it on, it's like, that fucking, it's a cap that fits me.
It looks good.
Mm,
no, I think it
borderline.
No, I like it.
But any other cap that I put, which won't fit on my head. Actually
well,
won't.
You're wearing it the right way round.
Yep.
Because...
Although it actually works when I do it the other way
backwards.
As well. Yeah. I get away with that.
Well, with baseball caps, do you do that thing which I... Because baseball caps don't suit me at all. But I did a thing when I tried it on and another presenter, Michael Payne, said, why do white people put caps on and then always turn it slightly with the peak to the side?
I definitely
just
don't
it
do
straight
that.
On and I was like, I don't know, I did that as well.
Have I done that with
it? No, you've done it perfectly, straight to the front.
I bought two hats. I bought this one and I bought one that just had House of Blues on it. Just a black, straightforward black baseball cap with House of Blues because that also fit me. But they were literally the only two hats in the shop that fit me.
Well, it's a good pick.
Thanks.
House of Blues, is that the one that Dan Aykroyd owns?
Yes.
Never been that good.
Spent a fucking fortune in there, mate.
It's a gig venue, right? A restaurant?
Yeah,
kind of?
But it's like but it's everything.
What did you buy?
Just a lot of stuff.
Like T-shirts, clothing?
Got some T-shirts.
Did you buy some Blues Brothers stuff?
Yeah.
What?
T-shirts, just told you.
Well, you're not wearing... No, but...
This hoodie's House of Blues, is it?
Oh, yeah, House of Blues since 1992. Yeah. And then they have one in Los Angeles, which I walked past once.
It's hard work, this, isn't it?
How many House of Blues are there?
I don't know, no.
I just thought you'd just ask.
Just reply to the questions you asked me. I bought a lot in there. I spent a lot of money in there.
Okay.
And I also got money off on it as well, because if you bought a tote bag, but that was just like five, even though you got 20% off your total because I spent so much. It was like worth buying, taking the hit of the tote bag to get far more off the cash. Although, interestingly, the Santana hat wasn't in that promotion.
Because it was different kind of... Do they have other things that musicians have designed there?
I don't know. Well, I wasn't really looking. I was looking for like Blues Brothers T-shirts, mainly. Some up with House of Blues on it. Because again, the hoodie. I can't buy stuff like this. So if I put a hoodie on that fits me, I'm fucking buying it.
That's good. You've got a little hair on your nipple area. Yeah. Do you want to just pick that off?
I quite like it.
Mine, leave it.
That one?
Looks like one of mine, actually. Whoops.
I don't know anyone in my life who's blonde.
That's me. I think that's rude.
How have you got one of your hairs?
I don't know, but we had a... There's another one up higher as well.
What did you do to me?
I don't know, molted, clearly.
Don't remember any of this. Have we got any Santana on the system?
Probably.
Shall I see if I like it?
Can download it. He did that song Smooth, that was a big hit a few years ago.
I honestly don't think I'm up to date with the stuff.
Any Santana?
Black Magic Woman, Gypsy Queen.
I know Black Magic Woman, don't know Gypsy
Should play that then?
Yeah, it's a good song.
All right, I'll put that on, then we'll start the show properly.
Okay.
All right. Starts
nice.
Quiet.
Nice, yeah.
Start it now. This is who designed my app.
Nice.
Is he a singer?
No, he plays guitar. There is singing on this, but he doesn't sing.
Right, so it's the guitar. Yeah. You're listening out for the guitarer in this. And when the guitar...
That's
then?
It, that's guitar-y.
That's
the guitar.
That's him. He designed my app. Well, I say designed. I don't know if he designed it or not.
I don't think he made it, did he?
Might just put his name to it.
Exactly right.
I don't know. It works when they do branded stuff.
Peace on the back. Peaceful guy. Peaceful guitar player.
It's quite peaceful, isn't it?
I think someone's going to sing in a minute.
Well, anyway, even when the singer starts, keep listening to the guitar because he designed my app. Or put his name to it and marked it up massively. You're listening to the soothing sounds of Jaw Wobble. This is, of course, Fanfare with Philomena.
Oh.
How's me doing
thanks,
that?
Carlos. He's got a lovely hat collection here. Just look
Carlos Santana.
The hat collection.
Hey, none of them are like mine, though, are they?
No, so you've got a bespoke one then, maybe.
Tell you like the mats, tiger lilies.
Oh, yeah, good. What they call them? Trilbies. And then there's a felt trilby. What's this one called? A flat cap. You could wear a flat cap.
Welcome back to our regular section. Nat does some Googling.
You could wear a flat cap. Do you
doesn't even think? Tell you what she's Googling. She just goes, oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Carlos Santana's hat collection.
Well, mine's a cap. Go further down. Scroll down.
There's a lot of trilbies.
There's only one cap. There's a cap.
You ever worn a trilby before?
The eight. I have, yes. Well, I've worn like fedora sort of things with Blues Brothers.
There's one here. A green hat with buttons on, similar style to yours.
Well, it says there eight best Carlos Santana hat images.
We're going to go to Pinterest.
See if mine's on it.
No, that's a straw hat. None of them.
Maybe they're all bespoke.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought
Hold on, there you go. There you are. The work cap men.
Work. So, for those of you who've been listening for the past 20 fucking minutes to this nonsense. If you want to see the actual cap or just the back of it.
You've got a it says psychedelic, your hat. I like
work
that.
Work cap, men, Carlos Santana hat, imports brand psychedelic Santana cap. Psychedelic, do you think?
Well, you just showed me the inside
of it. Is that because it says pace and shit all over
it? Yeah, but on the inside it's got a nice little, goes a bit haywire on the sewing on the inside, and I like that.
But that's all on top of my head, that. You can't see that when I'm walking
around. Reversible, sadly, which is a shame, I think.
I don't think so. I could try.
They're in stock now if you want one.
Right. Well, don't encourage people to get the same hat as me.
Get a trilby. Just get a trilby.
I've seen no one today in London wearing this hat.
Oh, here we go, another one.
That's what you want, isn't it?
You don't want to see someone wearing the same hat as you.
Also, trainers as well. I found out recently that DC trainers are really unfashionable.
Who told you that? Who told you that?
Several people in shoe shops.
Well, they came up
One of them barefaced laughed in my face.
No, they didn't.
I swear to God.
They
honestly,
said the trainers you're wearing.
Honestly, on the day of the Parapod movie premiere, some tickets still available. Or hopefully not by now.
No, by the 2nd of March, doubtful.
Should we give them out? I'll never give them dates out on here, have I not?
No, give them out, funny.
Yeah, so on the day of that, I wanted to get some new trainers because the ones I had on were quite scruffy. And went around London to all the usual places.
Yep.
Not even the niche trendy shops and that. None of them had DCs at all. And one of them was just like, yeah, they're not really, people don't really wear them anymore. People don't really want them.
Wow.
And I went, well, I'm here asking for them. So somebody wants them. And they were like, yeah, they're not really in fashion, to be honest.
Oh, no. That's a weird thing to say
Well,
to you.
All the more reason for me to want them.
So do you wear any other brand apart from DC?
No.
And you've always worn DC?
Well, again, like with the issues of my head being the wrong size for regular hats, my feet are the wrong size for shoes. So I've got very broad feet.
Right.
So I couldn't get into Adidas, even if I wanted to, which I don't.
Converse?
Get into them. Don't think I've ever tried Converse. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can get into Vans, but I find them too flat.
Oh, I see. What about...
I like a bit of boost on my trainers.
What about a Croc?
Croc, I don't think I'd go for.
No Crocs for you.
I recently saw some Nike Zoom, I think they were called.
Yeah.
Very different to what I'd normally wear, but I was quite taken with them and was going to buy them, but they didn't have them in my size.
I could see you in a Reebok.
Well, here's the other thing as well now. I mean, I genuinely don't care about trendiness and all that sort of business. But at the same time, I don't want to wear something that is, like, considered, like, our Dunlop Green Flash were considered when I was at school.
Now
they're trendy. No, these things are cyclical, aren't they?
Like Gola. Do you remember when Gola used to be? Oh, you're wearing Gola.
Exactly.
Very fashionable now.
So you reinvent them. I, by the way, also, before anyone shouts me down on that, I had Dunlop Green Flash at school and loved them.
Yeah,
they were so
Gola.
Comfortable. DCs were definitely trendy when I started buying them, definitely, but not many people had them.
Mm.
They were quite sort of niche. I think they remain niche, and now they're like, no, we don't like them at all.
Okay.
I would still choose to wear DCs, but if it's going to be something off the shelf, I'm going to have to buy something else. I'll have to.
What size foot do you have?
I have a 9 UK
Just
10.
Saying.
UK
a
9.
A 9? Size
UK 9,
9 foot.
US 10.
US 10. So if you're listening...
Yes, say US 10 because
just,
of the
we'll just
shoes.
Just see what Nick Allen does on his show.
What's he
so
do?
If you want to send in some DC trainers for the show, as a fans of the show... I'm telling
you're asking DC Direct?
No, just fans. He gets fans sending him all kinds of
weird
shit.
I don't want fans to spend a fucking fortune buying me shoes.
All right, fine, I'm just saying. Or maybe
Why isn't Nick Helm doing that?
A toy shoe. He doesn't specifically, just names what he likes and he gets sent chocolate and
Is
stuff
he skint?
And sweets. I mean, I don't...
If you're skint, it's all right. I don't mind that one. Back on the old
Hard
podcast.
To say. I know he doesn't buy drinks when he goes out with
right.
me, so saves some money
Zing.
That night, doesn't he?
Zing.
But, yes...
On the olden days podcast that I did with Ed,
yeah.
I used to ask for free stuff all the time.
Did
but
you?
It was semi-tongue-in-cheek, but also, I was like, but if it does get sent, that's brilliant.
Right, exactly. Right?
But I was skinned.
Well, if a DC trainer turns up here, well, hopefully, two of them.
Yeah. Can I have a left and a right, please?
Are you going to go, oh, can't accept that? Or are you going to go, that's
well, no, I won't say I can't accept it, but I wouldn't want somebody who was part of my audience to feel duty-bound to go out and spend their cash.
Don't feel duty-bound, but if you want to just swing some DCs back here, just care of me.
Or just put your cash into my Patreon. That's a better way of doing it.
Is it?
Yeah, totally, because then there's a direct... Then you get something for your dollar. So then you fund me...
True.
And I provide stuff, exclusive and bespoke stuff every day in the other direction. That I'm more comfortable with that as a transaction.
But where are you? Are they not making DCs anymore, or are they just not selling them in shoe shops?
I think they still make them.
Oh, okay, fine. So you can get them online.
They still make them. But they're getting harder and harder to get.
Maybe I should get one of those shoe designers from DC on the show.
Good call.
They're American.
Detroit right? City, yeah.
Detroit City. Okay, well, I can work out on the live show if time difference. What's the time in Detroit now? I don't know. I'll look it up. In my regular section, I Google stuff.
And our regular section, Nat has a conversation with herself. You asked yourself questions and answered them.
What do you think the time now is in Detroit?
Really? I reckon it's probably about 8 o'clock.
8:25.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Now, is that morning or...
Morning.
Morning. I was thinking evening.
I
was thinking
show.
That they were ahead for some reason.
Oh.
Well, there we go. Get someone from DC Shoes on. We'll chat about that. Yeah. I'll ask them straight. Are they not trendy?
Maybe
I'll say,
UK,
are you feeling it? I'll say in the factory or whatever. I mean, the factory, I would imagine, is probably in China or something.
I don't know.
Should I check on my shoes?
Yeah, see where they're made. Check where your shoes are made. I can't imagine it's one factory.
Is it going to be bad? Vietnam, mate.
Oh.
Is that bad?
It depends on how much they pay people in Vietnam to make
I wouldn't imagine it's much, would you?
Probably not, no, but I don't know.
What are your options with stuff like that?
Can we call the factory, Jack?
In Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's call Directory Inquiries and say, can you put us through to the DC factory in Vietnam, please?
Yeah, it's probably just the one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably just the one.
Just the one factory.
And then as an experiment, let's ask for the Nike factory as well and see if it's the same number.
Okay. And then I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll say we want to get a job there. What's the wages like?
Yeah.
Find out.
Good call.
Find out what they get
Can
paid.
Can we come and work? What would we get a day?
A daily rate.
What do you reckon
monthly?
It is? It's going to be pitiful, isn't it? It won't even be that, I don't think.
20 quid? 30 quid?
I don't know. I now feel guilty about my shoes. But I don't know what my options are. If you listen to the whole conversation, you'd hear me say, I can't fit in any of the shoes.
No.
What can I do? I suppose I could walk around barefoot, couldn't I? Or make my own shoes.
Well,
I could
ranges,
make my own.
You could be a cobbler.
Yeah. If Carlos Santana can make an hat, I can make a shoe.
Make a lot of hats by the looks of it. He's very skilled with the hat making. What's the hat making business called?
Haberdashery.
No, it's not. It's got a name.
Hatters. It'd be a hatter, wouldn't it?
I think it's got a different... I thought it had a different name.
Well, a hatter would make hats.
Fine,
for sure.
Okay. You could
but
wear...
But there might be another name for it, but Mad Hatter.
Well, New Look Women's, they probably will do for men, to have like a wide range
of
shoes.
Can you believe this show?
For wide feet.
Are you listening to this at home? Can you believe this show?
So you might be able to...
Can you believe what's actually been spoken about here for so long?
I bet Clarks.
It's fucking... If I was a guest on the show listening to this in the room, I'd go home. I'd jar wobble this. I'd jar wobble off.
Were we talking about shoes when he was in that day?
I don't know, Nat. I've got no idea. I saw a picture of him with Miles Hunt the other day.
Oh.
Presume they're best friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't match anyway, because I'm best friends with Sean Ryder now instead.
Are we not talking about that?
What do you want to talk about?
Just that after your Blossom
I'll have
friendship.
Done the first one by now.
So you did mention it on air.
By the time this is on.
After the show, Sean did get, or his PR got in touch and asked for your details.
Yeah.
And you've since been
then
booked.
Then his management got in touch.
And his management.
And his tour manager got in touch.
Oh, right, okay. And you have since been booked, but you've already done one of an evening with Sean Ryder.
I will have done one by the time this goes out. I've not yet.
Where was it?
Liverpool.
Nice, okay.
Then I'm doing Shrewsbury if it drains. Because Shrewsbury's all flooded at the moment.
Oh, okay.
It was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Good night.
I presume.
What did you? What's your favourite bit about what you said?
Just when we had to chat about Bez.
Yeah. I talked about Bez.
I'll tell you what, and what speaks highly for me, is in the week leading up to that Liverpool gig that was last week.
Yeah.
Right, in the week leading up to it, I made a point of reading his autobiography that I bought about 4 weeks ago and haven't read any of it.
So you've been busy?
Yeah, I've been busy. And that I made a point of doing that to do a little bit of research so I knew a little bit more about him before I had a chat with him in front of all the people. So that was good of me, wasn't it? That was professional.
Just don't mention that extra bit on the 24-Hour Party People DVD, as we know.
But he was on it.
He didn't know about it.
No, it wasn't
didn't like it.
Only visible through polarised lenses. He was on it.
Well, I'm really pleased that you two have got on so well.
And did you
hang out? What was it like when you hung out with him afterwards?
I had to get off.
You had to get off. Okay.
Yeah. I'll cover my base.
Maybe in
there.
Shrewsbury, the next one. You're
perhaps in Shrewsbury if we get flooded in. Parapod movie screening dates, Nat.
Yeah.
Starting
please.
To do. Right. So these are screenings of the movie that I made and spent 3 years of my life working on for no money at all. Zero cash I've had for this film. In fact, I've gone quite massively into debt doing it and the money that I've put in as well.
Okay.
I don't want in response to this. When are you coming to fucking next door to my house, right? Just travel a bit.
What?
I'm speaking to the listener.
Oh, okay, fine, right.
Because people are just going, oh, see, this show's in Chester and Manchester, but can you do it in Liverpool? It's like, what the fuck, what? No, I can't. I can only go to where asks me to do it.
Okay, so cinemas are getting in touch with you and saying,
yeah,
come
in. Everyman have been really good. So everyone have put load in. So here's the dates. Bristol Everyman, 9th of March.
Yeah.
Sold out, mate. Weeks, so that's sold out. Chester Story House, 13th of March.
Hold on a minute. We just went through these dates with you, and you said, yeah, 24th, 9th of March. No, 16th, my bad, as they say.
Chester Story House, 13th of March. That's sold out.
Yeah, 13th. Right.
Birmingham Mac, 14th of March.
Fine,
That's sold out, that one. It's sold out. There's an extra screening being added in the afternoon, which hasn't sold out. You can get tickets for the extra screening. That's at 1 p.m.
At
Birmingham Mac, 14th of March.
So I can't come that day, so I'm getting my hair done on that day.
That's fine. London Everyman.
When is
17th of March.
It's Tuesday.
Yep, sold out that.
It's a St. Patrick's Day as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank fuck it, sold out.
I know, I tried to buy a ticket.
I wouldn't
want to
get passing trade. Okay. Well, don't worry now, because London Everyman King's Cross is the following night on the 18th of March.
Okay.
And there are tickets available for that.
Okay.
Nottingham Savoy, Thursday 19th of March, tickets available.
Nottingham Savoy, posh.
Glasgow Everyman, 25th of March.
25th.
That's sold out.
That's a Wednesday.
It's sold out.
Sold out, don't worry about that.
But there's an extra screening at 3 p.m. been added. Okay. And that one, I think there's about half the tickets left, I think, something like that. Don't need a small screen. Halifax Chapel Square Arts Centre, 19th of April.
Oh, that's a big jump ahead there. And now we're looking at
a Sunday. Tickets for that, mate.
Sunday, that is.
There's tickets for that. That's struggle, that venue. I think because Leeds Carriage Works is on the 2nd of May. And Leeds is very central. And Halifax, genuinely, out of all the theatres we've dealt with and cinemas we've dealt with, Halifax have been the best one.
Oh,
they've really pushed it, but it's, you know, it's struggling to sell tickets.
Okay.
So push it towards that.
Right.
Leeds Carriage Works, that's pretty close, sold out, that's 2nd of May. Chorley Little Theatre, it's not been on sale very long, not so many, that one, 3rd of May. Stockton-on-Tees, 4th of May.
Awesome.
I've got no idea if the ticket's available for that because their website isn't compatible with Apple products.
Okay. I'm guessing yes.
So if you've got an iPhone or a Mac, probably. You actually can't book tickets for that, I don't think.
Can you just turn up?
I don't know.
Give them a call, maybe.
Speak to that. I mean, this is a general rule. Speak to the venues. Any queries, speak to the venues, not me.
Also,
don't ask me what time it starts.
Sometimes with questions for things like when things start, often it says it on the ticket itself.
Yeah,
or on the website
on the
for
listing.
The venue,
the
listing. There's other places you could try and look.
It's completely that. Sale Waterside, 10th of May.
10th.
Some tickets
Friday.
Available left
that's
on that one.
That's Good Friday, Easter.
And that's it for the moment.
Okay, so you end on to Jesus Day. That's good.
Is it good? Is that Good Friday?
Good Friday, yeah.
10th of May?
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah.
What?
It is, isn't it? Have I just skipped ahead?
Easter's at the 10th, on the 10th of May?
What's wrong? What's weird about that?
Isn't Easter normally like...
Oh, no, 10th, April. Sorry, wrong month. I was in the wrong month. I was in April. Which is a Friday. Because also 10th of May.
By the way, any of those days that Nat just mentioned might have been wrong because she was looking at the wrong fucking month.
Well, it would have been Easter Sunday.
Best bets, go to thepowerpod.com. That's where you'll see all the dates listed and all the links to buying them and all that sort of stuff.
Our guest is next door. Should we get him in?
What?
The guest is next door. Should we get him in?
Oh, are you going to sound like that about it?
What was I sounding like?
Like you were disappointed they turned up?
No.
There's a guest here now. Should we get him in?
It's up to you.
I'm going to think about it during this song. It's Joe Cocker, Woman to Woman. Joe Cocker, Woman to Woman there. that went on a bit at the end,
it
didn't it?
Of course,
as well.
Very famous sample. That wasn't it, Tupac Shakur's California Love.
Is that right?
Most people would know that.
Have I got the right mic here?
Mic number two.
Could you remember there used to be a thing on
still
that?
Still is over.
Oh, it's out of my eye shot, that.
Out of your eye shot.
Out of my eye shot. We're joined now. Now, here's the thing. Is it Billy or William?
I go by William, yeah.
William.
Yeah. Oh, PR calls you Billy.
Your PR's very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, well, off stage, yeah, Billy. You would call me Billy, that's fine. Yeah.
That's the thing, this is a difficult one, isn't it? Because you are off stage. You are off stage now.
Yeah. But I'm talking about
but
on stage.
But we're doing professional
tricky,
stuff, aren't we?
I've thought this through, obviously.
I just said we're doing professional stuff. I heard myself say
well,
it.
Well, we're trying to. Doesn't always work.
You feel me?
What do you prefer?
I prefer Billy. Let's go Billy.
I'm going to go Billy now.
Yeah.
Right, just for the purposes of the tape, we're going to go Billy while speaking today, but we are chatting to William Stone professionally. Not professionally. He is professionally. We're chatting to William Stone, who professionally is known as William Stone, but casually with his great new mates, me and Nat, is going to go by Billy like he does with his other mates at the PR firm.
That's right.
Never Bill, though, right? That's a step two.
Bill's okay, yeah. Bill? I think I'm going to save that for
him. I didn't buy that.
When I get over 50, I reckon Bill's going to fit a lot better, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think Billy's quite nice on an old man.
Do you? Like Grandad Billy?
Because it's quite a young
Uncle
name.
Billy. Yeah, yeah.
Uncle Billy sounds dodgy. I'd go, Grandad Billy thinks all right. Uncle Billy, I wouldn't be allowed near.
Yeah, yeah.
And just
not with
Billy
beard as well. Like, yeah.
Exactly. So at the pub, Billy's coming in, and then this old fella comes through. He's like, oh, is that Billy? Yeah, it's Billy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Let's think about
Billy.
I'd stick with Billy all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Is William important for your act?
I think so. I don't know. When I started, I wanted to compartmentalise it, because my job at the time, I was a graphic designer, and I went by my name, so I wanted to keep it Billy for that, William.
Because you were carrying on with the graphic. So do you still do graphic design then?
Yeah, I do a lot of posters for comedians and stuff like that, comedy nights, all that kind of thing, yeah.
So how about this? How about then, brand name, your graphic design, so just call it something else.
I could do,
give it a name.
Yeah.
Sounds better anyway, I think. Yeah. Personally, I think that. Go Billy Stone Comedy, William Stone for formal functions in your real life.
Yeah.
But I think that Billy Stone.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, like, this is a real thing, this, of names that are good for comics.
Oh, yeah.
That are good names. Mm-hmm. So, in my career, the people I've worked with, Ed Gamble is a great name for a comic.
Yeah.
Rob Rouse is a great name for a comic.
Because.
I don't know.
Rob Rouse, I think, is the alliteration.
Yes, certainly that.
So it's
like,
it sticks in your head.
And also single syllables, Rob Rouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Rob was on the show last week.
Okay. I would say Russell Brand, very good name for a comedian. Very easy to remember.
Okay.
Russell Brand, not too complicated.
Yeah. Mm. Kane, Russell Kane.
Russell Kane.
Russell Kane's a good name for a comic.
Yeah, Kane's a good surname.
Russell Howard.
Yeah,
that works. Sarah Millican.
Sarah Millican.
Is that a good name for a comic there?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, they're all doing pretty well. I wouldn't say, like, that's a dreadful name.
No, I'm just saying.
Dreadful.
I would argue, forgive me,
yeah,
Billy Stone is better than William Stone for a comic.
Really?
Personally, that's
right. Do you know what it is? I think because there's a lot of Wills on the comedy scene.
Is there?
It's quite a fair amount of Billys. And I'm talking like, you've got like, obviously got like,
Billy No Mates.
Billy No Mates.
Billy Burr. He doesn't call himself Billy Burr.
Billy Connolly, you know, people like that. So,
Billy.
But William,
so when you said there's a lot,
I don't know another
when
William.
You said there's a lot,
yeah,
you could only name me one.
Well, that's just off the top of my head. But that's a big one as well, you know what I mean?
So, it is, but look how many Russells there are.
Yeah, that's true.
Bill Burr, that's a good name for me, isn't it?
Bill Burr. Bailey, I've thought of another one.
Yeah, so there's lots of Bills and a few Billys, but there's no, and there's a lot of Wills, but not really any Williams, so.
But that might be because they've worked it out that it's like a cursed name.
Really?
What if it's that?
Well,
what if they've gone, I can't call myself William? Because Russell Kane's not Russell Kane's real name.
Oh, is it not?
No.
Is it not?
Neither names. No. Real.
A lot of people change it, don't they? Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I think it's because with my onstage persona, I think I take myself a bit too seriously.
Right, okay.
And I think someone that took themselves too seriously would go for William over Billy.
So so when you're up doing your stuff,
at
the mic, you take yourself seriously, as in that's part of the act.
So I play...
Stay with William then.
Yeah, I agree. You've convinced me.
I saw it that one then.
You do?
I've come in with
it. Well, that's the caveat to it, isn't it? If it actually feeds into what you're doing on the stage as well.
Yeah, it wasn't just completely random. It was kind of, there was a bit of, you know, thought behind it.
Yeah,
that it's kind of like it suits my shtick, I think.
So
Lee McKillop. It's a shit name, isn't it? Lee Mack, brilliant.
Oh, is that his real name? Yeah, Lee Mack, really good name. Yeah. Well, so kind of shorter name, Michael Pennington. Johnny Vegas.
Vic Reeves, Jim Moyer.
But I think Jim Moyer's a good name.
I do, yeah.
But what we're talking about, Vic Reeves, back in the day, showbiz entertainer, old school showbiz entertainer, just really warped. Far better name. Vic Reeves is a far better name for than Jim Moyer. He keeps that for his art stuff, doesn't he, Jim?
I think Jim.
But that's like a wanker.
Nick Bob Mortimer, they keep it in sometimes on shows, say Jim, but it's not cut.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of well known, isn't he? But I was asked before by the assistant producer on the show on Friday, when you were booked for the show, did we want you to come in character? And I thought, because I know when we had previous, I know Ian with you well enough that you like talking to people in character if they can also talk out of character as well.
Right, I'm going to put, well, again, I'll put a caveat on this.
Okay.
So if you said to me, do you want to interview Steve Delaney or Count Arthur Strong?
Okay, yeah.
I'd say, I want to interview Steve because I've interviewed Arthur loads of times.
Yes. Right.
But I'm quite happy interviewing Arthur.
Yeah.
If you said to me, do you want to interview someone who's an Ali G impersonator, Ali G, whilst also trying to have a real conversation while he's still doing fucking Ali G?
Can you imagine that? If that would ever happen.
That's a hard no. Yeah. That's a hard no from me.
Yes. But I feel like most people are able to go, this is a character, and also speak not a character.
How are you more comfortable?
I've been doing stand-up for about 4 years, but the thing is, it's not a character, it's more a persona.
Yeah.
And I do one-liners, so it's kind of like, that's not a natural way of speaking.
Yeah, you couldn't have a conversation, it's all one-liners.
So, but I could do the persona, but not, I couldn't do, like, the jokes.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Do you know what I mean?
I
think it's a nice mix of character and straight stand-up.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the middle. So it's not completely out there character, and it's not just straight down the line.
How far apart is it for you? So it's only a vague persona sort of thing.
Sure.
I get that. But for you personally, how far apart is what you do when you're on stage? When you're standing there, that persona you're inhabiting or becoming or whatever, how far apart is that from the actual you, from the graphic designer Bill?
It's getting more blurred.
Yeah.
I think when I started, I was more like making a point of, I was more like a rabbit in the headlights, kind of, what's going on?
Right.
And the trouble with that is, because I was doing one line, is people instantly make comparisons to Milton Jones and other one-liners stuff.
Yeah.
So as I've been trying to make it more and more unique, and the best way you can do that is just be yourself, really, because everyone is, you know what I mean? So it's sort of met in the middle between, it was more out and out character, and then it's sort of met in the middle where I'm just being the weirder side of my and the sillier side of my actual personality than this separate person.
Isn't it odd? I can't think of a one-liner comic who doesn't or didn't initially start with, because that in itself is the hook. That's what you're doing, one-liners. So it doesn't really need anything beyond that. But everyone that I've known, certainly, has also had some sort of odd persona with it. Like Stephen Wright, like Gary Delaney first started.
Yeah.
You know, Gary would not crack a smile on stage. He would literally
Is he completely deadpan?
Absolutely
right.
Deadpan. Black leather jacket. It's fucking hilarious.
Right.
Black leather jacket and come out and literally be like, he just didn't want to be there. And it would often take Gary, back in the day this is, a bit of a while to get... for it to get going.
This is it.
Which he would play into that though as well.
Yeah.
He used to say a thing which I obviously love it, where he'd like maybe 10 minutes in, he'd just pause and go, "This is all I do."
Yeah.
Which is a great. Yeah. And that was the only time I ever saw him like put his head down and do a little smile.
Okay.
But now he's like perfectly affable on stage and stuff.
Well, Mark Simmons, that's his, he does one liners as well.
But isn't he a bit is he a bit manic on stage?
Not really. No, I think he's pretty straight. But I think when he started, he used to wear like a funny outfit.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay. So again, I think it's just because when all you've got up there is your material, I think sometimes an audience needs a bit more.
Okay.
You have to warm to them in some other way or just stand out from... It depends. You've got a really unique voice. Hopefully that's what you'll be remembered for so you can work on radio and everything, you know. Mm. But something about someone just stood there and just doing jokes, and you know they're just telling jokes.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, straight stand-up, it's all pre-planned, largely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But because it's conversational, you're lulled into that sense of, like, oh, we're just having a chat with this guy on the stage.
But it has to be by design, because if you're talking about stuff, you're saying, oh, this happened to me, or this happened to me, it's got to be convincing by design. One-liners don't have to be convincing. Yeah. You don't have to believe that... So I met this man the other day.
Yeah.
You don't have to believe it because you're aware of the convention of the joke.
Yeah.
So I think really, because one-liner comics by and large, would be the would have the best ammo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they've got honed, worked on, structured material.
Yeah. But I think a lot of stand-up is personality and rapport, you know? And it's kind of hard to relate to someone that's been an out-and-out weirdo or really cold, you know, or really distant, you know?
Yeah.
It's possible, you know, people do it, but, it's a way of making that you and letting the audience in somehow.
Yeah.
Showing your vulnerability.
What was the choice for that then? So or was there even a choice, or did it just come about? Well, did you choose to be a one-liner comic?
So when I started doing comedy, I used to just write like sort of just silly tweets or Facebook statuses and stuff.
Yeah.
So when I started, I thought, well, how am I going to put a set together? So I just went back through my Twitter feed and was like, oh, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And obviously, because it's on Twitter, the longest it could be is, you know, well, back then, it wasn't 142 characters and all that. So it just naturally was these short, snappy jokes, and that's just how I think in jokes. I can't, you know, I have this conversation all the time with comics, like, oh, I wish I could do what you do and just write a gag. And I say, well, I'd love it if I could go up and just have 5 minutes on one bit.
Yeah.
It's always grass is always greener kind of thing. But
I guess most comics will have Twitter and stuff, so most comics have probably written loads of jokes without realising they have. You know, most, what would be the word for it, sort of just chatty, conversational comics.
Mm.
Will have written loads of jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I always say I've never written a joke in my life, but I bet I have.
Yeah.
Like, I bet there's tons of them on Twitter, really, as well as fucking horrible dark shit as well. But I'm sure that there is actual technically good jokes on there.
Well,
I guess you have to go and see if Gary Delaney liked it. Yeah. If Gary Delaney liked it, you go, okay, well, that's a... Because Gary's just... Joke. He rules it very dictatorially.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, I think that's the thing as well. Within one line, is this is still a lot of difference. So you've got, like, just people like Mark Simmons and Gary Delaney, who I would call, like, gag men.
Yeah.
So, like, joke one can be about being an orphan.
Yeah.
Joke 10 can be about how stupid you're... mummies or something.
Course,
and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just gags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got like puns, which are just wordplay.
Yeah.
And you've got character, all sorts of stuff, even within that, you know. So there's sometimes people pigeonhole it into kind of one thing, but there's loads, like any type of comedy, loads of nuance within it, I think.
Do you think part of your comedic journey, do you think it's likely that you will come away from it? As in come away from just one line of gags and stuff and go...
I don't plan to, I'm not opposed to...
So you don't desire to be like a chatty comic, as it were?
No, I don't. I mean, I enjoy that to watch, but I don't enjoy... I don't think I'd enjoy it on stage. But if I started to, I wouldn't deny myself it either, you know what I mean? So I'm not like dead set, this is how I must be.
Yeah.
I think you grow as a performer and, you know, as wanky as that sounds.
You totally do.
And it's better to be... really good at something you're naturally good at than force yourself to be good at something that okay at something you just want to be good at. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, so coming at it from the other side, so when I did comedy, when I did gigs, I was chatty, conversational.
Right.
That was anecdotal and, you know, that sort of stuff. I couldn't imagine standing there and delivering material.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't. Because I don't think I'd be able to fake that. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't feel like I was in control of it.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be something that I would ever do.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this idea that people, if you say, I don't envisage myself doing chatty stuff, it's like, okay, so then you've got your thing sorted.
Mm-hmm.
Same as I had my thing sorted, what I was doing. And they don't need to cross over. I think perhaps piously I was thinking at one point, oh, maybe you'll grow out of that and be a proper comic. No, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I don't mean that. I really don't mean that insulting. That's what I was thinking.
I know what you mean, because I get a little bit disheartened when I listen to a lot of, obviously, like American comedy podcasts.
Yeah.
And it seems that a lot of like acts were like, oh, I started off just doing like dumb one-liners.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
kind of seen as like almost like a dirty secret. And
yeah.
It's like, but that's... To me, that's the nuts and bolts of comedy, is the jokes. You know? So it shouldn't be something you're ashamed of.
Well, as is character comedy. You know, character comedy can also be viewed in the same way. Because when I first started doing stand-up, I did a character, a loosely speaking character. That character, within a couple of years, became me in a hat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It was like,
oh, this is just like really close to me now.
Mm.
So all I need to do is just drop the last tiny bits of character, take the hat off, and I'm more... And I was actually more comfortable anyway doing it as myself.
That's it.
Mistakenly kept the name, but that's an entire other story. But it's... I think these things potentially do go in phases. I think you do. Because it gets dead boring and all, I think. like doing comedy. I think comedy's really boring to do. No, I do, after
well,
a while.
On. William, you're just you're the best newcomer, so he's only starting. After well,
he's
a while.
Won it, he's won it now.
How do you know? Congratulations.
Do you remember,
for
he won it last week.
He
won it last week.
How does it feel?
That's put
how
more pressure on you now.
Well, you know, it's a lovely new venue, and they have some, like, they've only been around for about three
where
or four years.
Where is it?
Years,
Two North Down, where is
it's
that?
King's Cross. Yeah,
oh, it used to be the Visible Dot?
Invisible Dot, was it?
Yes, that's it.
It's a nice venue. Yeah. Jerry Page there, yeah.
Oh, Jerry's great, yeah. He's got a show.
He does.
Not a comedy, though.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
lovely,
like,
at comedy.
They do, like,
he is lovely at comedy.
Lovely comedy name he has, Jerry Page. That's
really good name. Really good name again. Sorry, yeah, man. Sorry.
No, I think that would work for, like, but he's got that kind of, like, he's got that cool indie vibe as
but
well. And that would work as, like, a guitarist name as well, Joey
it's
Page.
It's very forced, though, isn't it?
In real life, he is Joe Page. We don't call him Joe. Yeah, so yeah, it's just the Joe Page.
Sometimes just J Page, he says. You can only use his initials. Don't be fooled by his affable persona on stage.
He's a
tyrant. Fucking vile cunt.
No, he's lovely. He is lovely.
What are you saying before we start speaking over you? What are you saying?
No, it's all right. I was just saying, like, I think it's a great venue because you can go there and you can see, you know, big acts, you know, circuit acts and stuff. Mm. But you also do, they're really good for, like, you know, grassroots comedy and stuff. So yeah. I think it's a really great place. That's yeah. So you can, like, sort of rub shoulders with big people if you're new and, like, feel like you're part of the community, and I think that's really valuable.
Is that important to you, do you think?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because it's very easy. You do spend a lot of time with other comics and stuff, but it's quite an isolated pursuit, I think. Like, you're in your head a lot with, like, oh, is this funny? And you know, it's not like something tangible, like, you know, you do a painting and there it is and it's good or it's bad. It's all in your head all the time. It's all, and it's only happening while you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's very easy to, like, just get into your own head and.
Hey, that was my best bit of it.
Just being in your own head. Yeah.
There's nothing worse for me when I got dragged out to have to fucking sit with people.
I know. That was a shame. That was a downfall, really. You didn't get to speak to other people.
Yeah, it really was. They're all perfectly nice people. I was like, I'd rather be reading. Well, look, when we're recording this, you're doing that the new act thing tonight, so good luck with it.
Yeah. Cheers. We hope that you win at 2 North Down tonight. Oh. But
no, I think I hope you don't win.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I don't, but...
I think I hope you don't win, because I think... This could be a slippery slope for you. I think not winning it might be the moment.
You know, I think there's something to be said for that. Yeah. Sometimes people with, like, a bit of ability get, if you get pushed too far forward, too far soon, it can, like, get in you again.
I'm only semi-joking, by the way.
No, I think there's something to be said for it. Yeah. You know, there's, like, loads of people that have won competitions. You might look back and be like, who's that? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Well, but it makes you keep you fighting if you're not... winning everything, you know what I mean? You've got to be like,
some
right, what have I got to change?
Ones.
What have I got to do? You know?
Yeah.
You don't remember some of the singing ones that they won, do you? The winners?
I don't think I like that. Well, comedically, though, I can name you a lot of people, losers, inverted commas, from the bigger competitions back in the day, who emerged the winners. Well, ultimately,
I mean, even like, I think it's right, not Little Mix, the other boy band, One Direction didn't win, did they? Very popular. Harry Styles, he didn't win the competition.
People like underdog as well, don't they? So
that's true. But with that in mind, then is it beneficial to go through a competition in comedy now? I'm kind of a bit detached from it all now, so I don't really know.
I don't think the general public would know the difference between an award-winning comic and a not one. They just like it or they don't.
Yeah,
you know
but
I mean?
But industry is what matters, really.
You're right. And then to get to the point where you're in front of that kind of audience, you have to do industry stuff. So, it's sort of a necessary evil. I enjoy competitions. Mm. I know a lot of people really hate doing them.
Yeah.
And the advice people always give is, just treat it like any other gig. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, no, I'm doing a competition. I'm doing a competition.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, I'm going to try my hardest. Do you know what I mean? So... and I've done all right in competitions, and it's a good way of tracking your progress as well. So when I first started, I started entering them straight away, and I wasn't getting past the first stage. Then a year on, might get to the quarter final.
Okay.
Year after that, got to the semis and then the final. So it feels like, I must be getting better because I'm progressing further in the same competitions. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. I don't think I like the competitive streak of comedy. I don't think I like that. I don't think I ever liked it, really.
Mm.
It was always... Like, I never was in the competitions when I first started. I tell a lie, I did a semi-final of the Daily... I got fast-tracked to a semi-final of the Daily Telegraph open mic.
Oh, right.
Because they didn't have enough contestants. And they just went, do you want to just come and do this? And I went and did it at some uni. I think Danny Boy won that year.
Okay.
But it was never on my radar to do that. But Rob, who we were talking about, Rob Riles, he did this. He won Say Think You're Funny, in fact. He did that. First year of Big and Daft, or second year of Big and Daft, he was in that competition.
Oh.
Because I would say, oh no, I wouldn't do competition and stuff, but that definitely helped Big and Daft in terms of industry. So in terms of that, it was him winning that. They got him very well in with the Gildy Balloon, who then got very well in with Big and Daft, with the three of us. We got a good venue there. You know, they had us back every year and blah, 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 blah. It's back when the Gildy Balloon was like proper.
Yeah.
But, you know, I maybe saw some of the benefit of a competition while still being able to go, I don't do competitions. It's stupid. So I wonder what it is. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like the...
I think, you know, I was talking about getting in your head and stuff, and I think I'm really bad for that.
Right.
And I think, and also in the reason why I do a persona and have lots of gags is because, like you were saying about ammo, it's like, I know I get up there, I know what I'm doing, I've got all this behind me, you know.
Yeah.
And when it comes to competitions, I'm like, oh, I must be all right then if I'm doing all right, because I can't do that for myself, you know.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Like, okay, yeah. I must be doing all right if I got to this stage, or that person, you know, said this about me. It's all external. I can't generate that in myself.
I understand that.
I use it for validation, I think. Yeah.
But again, that you think I've got all this material, blah, 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 and I would think when I was doing it, and it happened a bit like a mantra for about maybe 2 years when I was a comic, where I would literally stand about to go on and think, I don't know what I will say if somebody says this.
Right.
Like, I can't even think of it. And I eventually got to the point where, and I used to just, like, I didn't say it out loud, I used to just think, your wits never fail you.
Right.
So in the moment,
yeah,
my wits never, never is very definite. Like, it wasn't rarely, never, but very, very rarely.
Mm.
You know, when you're there in the moment, I was like, it will just happen. I will just say the thing, it'll be fine. I'll have a comeback for it and stuff. Which is normally the case. So it's just, yeah, it's your different tools, isn't it? You know, for different comics.
I think so.
Hmm.
Oh.
No.
Got it. That was a very... Do you think how impressed that noise was? Anybody into you?
No. Now, William, we're sticking with William, aren't we?
You're going,
it says here, you've got an upcoming tour in the UK. So it says on your press release thingy here that I've got in front of me. Is that true? Is that...
I could.
Sounds like that's not true to me.
I'm not touring a show, but I play all around the country.
I'm taking the car out.
So you've also got an upcoming tour in the UK where you perform in London and Brighton later this year. Is this true or false?
I live in Brighton. I perform
makes
in
sense
Brighton
you would probably do that, right?
Yeah, it'd be silly not to.
Yeah.
And you're in London tonight?
Yeah. I gig in Leeds, gig in Manchester, a gig in Liverpool.
Okay.
I'm not touring a show. I've not got a show yet. But
fine. Voice Mag say you've got excellent comic timing, or has that been made up on air as well?
That's true.
That is true.
I don't think no disrespect to Voice Mag, but if you're going to make up a quote, you wouldn't.
Have you appeared live?
I might say that was Chortle.
Have you appeared live on BBC Radio 2 and BBC Radio 4?
I have, yeah.
I'm just going through fact checking.
We just had an interview. So grill the guest at the end.
We're in the area of fake news. You've got to check this stuff.
How much of what you said was true?
William Stone is a stand-up comedian, joke writer, and comic actor.
100%.
Okay, and do you know what, William? I could happily speak to you all day, but unfortunately, we've hit the time of the show. It's playing now already. We've hit the time of the show. Well, we always just spend a few minutes. Thank you for joining us today. Best luck tonight and stuff. Really nice
meeting you. Thank you so much. Cheers. And, really great to be here.
We've reached the point, regular listeners will know, where we just take a bit of time, we sit back, relax, and have a listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell as they perform the haunting, melodic sounds of Fanfare. Oof, I don't mean. Make the most of it, because there are only 4 minutes left. Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell. One day we'll find out who does what on this. What does Jar do? What does Bill do? At the moment we don't know. Because at the moment we are enjoying the collage and the composition that they have made up between themselves in their respective roles as they have constructed Fanfare for Phenomena. I don't know if you're the same as me, but I suspect with that little bit of flute, that one there, I think that might be Bill Laswell. And I think Jar Wobble is just sat in the studio. Well, he might not be, he might have just fucked off, but if he's bothered staying to produce this, I think he's been
the dub stuff.
Producing Bill Laswell on his flute. Jar Wobble's
probably insisted on playing everything else like George Michael did on the Faith album, but don't get too distracted by that because we're trying to enjoy and relax as we listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare. I mean, I'd argue it's a fanfare, to be fair. It's not really a fanfare, it's not the Fox logo, is it? The soothing sounds of Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena, and now we're back in the studio and we are joined. Natalie's still here,
I'm here.
But we are joined now by Kitty Bang Bang as well. Hello, Kitty.
Hi.
Hello, mate.
Sorry,
right. No, it's fine.
That
it needed breaking.
Immediately.
It needed breaking.
That song was too chill. I was about to fall asleep.
What I've done is I've made a rod for my own back.
Yeah.
What did you say?
No, because she said she's about to fall asleep from that Jar Wobble.
Oh, did you not like it?
No,
it was the soothing tones afterwards.
It was quite soothing, wasn't it?
It was kind of hypnotic.
Oh, my ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Because I speak like this normally.
Yeah.
I can.
That was very radio.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Well, that song brings it out on me. I've made a rod for my own back with that song because basically, you don't know this, I'll tell you the background.
Tell me more.
Jar Wobble was meant to be a guest on this show maybe 2 months ago.
I think it was the Christmas show, wasn't it? It was just before Christmas.
Whenever it was. But it was a live show and he sat in the green room, as the guests do before the live shows, was listening to the show, just fucked off.
Ian played the intro quite a lot, a few times, when we had no such thing as a fish guy.
But I wasn't taking the piss. I wasn't taking the piss.
We think he may have heard that intro a few times and did think we were taking the piss. And so we went to go and get him. He was nowhere to be found.
We actually thought he might have died in the building somewhere.
Did you get an explanation?
No, never. Even the PR. PR never got one either.
Nobody ever spoke. No one ever.
But he went on, I think it was Talk Radio
Talk Sport, he was on.
And said on his Twitter, it's so good to be doing proper radio. So since then, I've just carried on playing his song every week.
And
now I am taking the piss.
I just said, it does feel short. The more times you hear it, it feels less like 6 minutes. It felt like 2 minutes, that song.
I know, it's your life that's getting shorter. Every time you hear it. Kitty!
Hi!
Hiya, mate.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
You're a film star now, aren't you?
I'm a film star, thank you.
Wearing the same hat.
Is that why you've come in?
Same style of hats today, look.
I've only just started wearing this.
I could tell. It's, you know, we've got this link.
So hang on. Did Kitty have that hat on when she arrived?
No, I believe that she saw you.
Some are nodding, some are saying.
I stole it from an adjacent studio.
Yeah, when you went missing
and
before.
No, do you know what? I heard about the Jar Wobble. What's his name?
Jar Wobble.
I heard about that and I thought I've gone with a cross from Jar Rule.
Yeah.
It's kind of Jar Wobble.
Well, I feel like, and forgive me for being forward, but I feel like in this room now, if you look at myself and Kitty together, and we've got history.
We've got the same hairstyle and everything.
That's true.
She's come in giving it, oh, you're a film star now.
Yeah.
I'm a fan, basically, at this point. Look, I've dressed the same as you.
It's like you're making a move to like be on my arm at premieres and shit.
Do you know what? I've got a lot of dresses that haven't been, you know, taken to appropriate
Well, stop
situations.
Taking them off.
I need the money, come on.
It's amazing. But less before we're going, I've got fucking loads of dresses.
Loads of clothes,
just can't wear them. They keep shoving me out of my undies constantly, sticking me in a big glass.
It's a hard life. Somebody's got to live it.
In it, though. But every time I look at your social media and stuff, you're always on a beach somewhere. It's a desirable life, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It doesn't suck. I've been doing a lot of touring around Australia, and so as soon as the tours stop, I immediately go on holiday for as long as I can.
Right.
And then when the money runs out, I come back home and go back to work.
So is your job, well, it must be able to, that can finance that lifestyle?
Yeah. I mean, it's you do a lot of touring.
Yeah.
And you get paid fairly decently for
it. Yeah.
And also you can just go to Southeast Asia and your money goes really far and you can sit on a beach and live in a hut and excessively.
But I guess as well, though, do you get like booked in them places too? So are these often like work come holiday sometimes?
They're often a paycation, we call them.
Yeah.
So generally somebody will have paid me to go out there and I just say, can you book my flight back in about 3 weeks.
Right.
And then I just bum around until I've run out of money, and then I get on the flight.
That's
home.
Exciting. Do you ever worry? Like, this is a genuine
try
question.
Not to.
No, do you ever worry that your portrayed life on social media could make other people feel less of themselves? That's
well,
not but that's not
into.
Even directly at
no,
you.
Do you know what?
Because I do.
Everybody
I worry about
does.
That.
Everybody does. Everybody puts that kind of best face forward thing on social media. And a lot of people say that to me. They're like, your social media just looks like you're on holiday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But actually, I don't post that often because a lot of people that do what I do post from like every single gig they go to.
Yeah.
I've just got old and I don't care about it anymore.
So think maybe yours is more memorable though because
it's more
rare.
Of a kind of, look at this beautiful beach.
And yeah, yeah.
You know, and on days like today, when I look back at my memories and I think, great, it's time last year I was in Bali and it's raining yeah. in North London.
It is shitty, isn't it? Like it's proper
so it's
shit.
Depressing me as well as other people. Like, you know, it's an equal opportunity situation.
No, I consider that nowadays, though. Like there was would once have been a time where if I bought something new, because I buy all like popular culture stuff and, yeah. that, and Star Wars shit and all that sort of thing, and often quite high end things, really. But yeah. I don't do it every day. It's like, you know, but oftentimes I'd find an excuse to post a picture of it, you yeah. know, or look at this fucking ridiculous thing I bought under that guise. But as time went on, I started thinking, oh, maybe people don't like that because maybe they feel like, oh, because I know how I feel sometimes when I see things like that, where people have got brilliant things. I'm like, oh.
I think there's definitely more than one. Like, some people look at it and go, oh, look at that really cool
yeah.
thing. And obviously there are large swathes of people that will look and go, I wish I had that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because you find that middle ground
yeah.
posting. Like, I don't post on Instagram really for anybody except myself.
Okay.
Like, I do post a lot. I don't post a lot of selfies or, like, pictures of me in my pants. Which
Why
I
not?
Think a lot of...
You should do. You look brilliant in your pants, yeah.
Do you know
get
what?
A bit
don't
of fire
like
going as well. Rub a bit of fire on your busters as well. That'll put that on.
Just me in the kitchen with the yeah. furnace going.
Literally just a pan on fire. I'm taking this too
here
far now.
Real life. This is real life,
yeah, yeah,
people.
Yeah.
They don't want to see the real life. It's just me with a hangover.
I think people do. Are you never miserable? You must be miserable sometimes.
Everybody's miserable sometimes, aren't
I'm
they?
I'm trying to think of things to ask you, Vince. You four fucking
I know.
Times.
Do you know
are you on Instagram? That's my revelation.
No,
here.
I'm not.
Because are you putting this on Twitter as well, then?
I put some stuff on Twitter. I've moved away from Twitter because it's become a flaming trash fire
yeah.
of
open
terrible,
sewer.
Terrible,
yeah.
terrible people.
Yeah.
That's something that has definitely changed. I feel like Instagram is one of the only places. Of course, you know, you're going to compare yourself to different people, but it's just kind of pretty pictures at the end of the day.
Well,
I don't think anybody really tries to be too clever with the captions.
They will.
I mean, they will
It'll
ruin
come.
It eventually
yeah.
because people are terrible, but I really do think that Twitter was once something that I quite enjoyed,
yeah.
and it was about having conversations with people, and now, I don't know, if I post on it, I'm just screaming into the void.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, when the election results came through, I was just like, everybody's going to die and everything's terrible. Don't at me. I'm not up for a conversation with
idiots. it is vile, isn't it?
It's horrible
Twitter.
Now.
Yeah, it's vile.
Really, it's not a fun place to be.
It's not somewhere for good news now, is it, when you go to it? You see what's trending.
I would love to delete my Twitter account.
You need it for work-based stuff, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but, I mean, do I? See, here's the thing. I've had to promote the film through it, but I don't think that's really seen that much return. Not worth
right.
the hassle. And occasionally post links to my Patreon and say, oh, you know, this is what I do there, and if you want to join, blah, 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 blah. But it's getting less and less now where
yeah.
I'm like, oh, do I need that?
Maybe
I think I could happily delete Twitter.
I'd love to. I'm just still tied to it.
Because it's, you know, if you're waiting backstage to go on and they're running late and you just sit and scroll, don't you?
Mm.
But I do find that Twitter's actually that I find depressing. Just the breadth of terrible people
yeah.
and the freedom that they feel to just be openly terrible.
Yeah.
Like, at least people tried to hide it before now.
Here's a good question.
Okay.
Here's something I was pondering last night, right? And I don't think I actually do have a strong opinion on it, but I'm going to withhold it. And I'm going to put this to both the ladies in the studio today. So, the horrible thing that happened with Caroline Flack a few weeks ago, right? And one of the repercussions of that, or one of the reactions, rather, to that, was people saying
this has got to stop, this social media hounding, this press hounding, blah, 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 blah. And there seems to be a concerted effort from people saying, no, social media just can't be this anymore. It can't be shouting at each other. It can't be attacking people that you don't know, etc., 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 right? That happened for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Then, later on in that week, there was a lady on Question Time who was mouthing off about immigration.
The blonde lady, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
right? I don't know her name, and if I knew it, I wouldn't even say it now.
That's not the point.
The point is it warranted what happened with that? Basically, that reaction happened again. The same thing that everyone was banging on about happened again. A witch hunt happened on that lady who'd spoken, albeit with stuff that I certainly don't agree with, but that was her opinion or whatever. That's the, whatever sort of person she is, that's who she is. She is speaking her truth. Is that the same thing? Because she was decimated on social media.
Yeah,
like, she really was. And she wasn't
a Tommy Robinson fan, wasn't she? And they found those pictures.
But is it justifiable if someone is quote-unquote a bad guy? Because Caroline Flack was a bad guy a few, like a month ago, in terms
the way
of
she was portrayed,
that perception. I don't know her at all.
Canonized afterwards.
Exactly. So what's the difference?
What really there isn't, is there?
No.
People decide they want to go after somebody and they go and they turn over every little cornerstone of their life,
yeah,
and abuse them. Obviously, you know, means and ends, you know, if somebody, but again, it's all perception. Like, we perceive that lady, the blonde lady, as a bad person, you know, and now that something terrible happened, you know, you perceive Caroline as this angel. But the same thing's happened to both of them. And it's just...
So that lesson's definitely not been learned.
No, because...
It's not learned at all.
Her thing was about be kind, wasn't it? And that was the hashtag that was trending, but just be kind to people. But it doesn't say be kind to some people.
No, that's the problem.
There are ways and means of countering that lady's argument.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, people, if they'd learned a lesson, they could have been like, you know, she's talking about immigration. They could have put a positive spin on immigration, like put out facts about how it helps the economy and gone about it that way. But they don't. They want to take somebody down.
Right. But
and it's the whole kind of cancel culture.
But I bet you could find literally thousands of people that did that.
That
had a go at her.
Yeah.
If you went back a few days, would have been speaking platitudes about Caroline
Flack. That's the BBC's
fault.
I'm sorry, but it was
it's
Question Time. That show would have happened. And it wouldn't have gone as viral, but they chose to put that clip out of her on their own Twitter.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah, but that's...
So it's not their fault necessarily, but they knew what they were... They fully knew by putting that clip out exactly what was going to happen.
So does every...
Where she was factually incorrect on many points with what she said. But obviously, I mean, you know, that's something you would do. You'd go, this is definitely going to stir something up by putting this woman out there talking nonsense.
Yeah.
Let me have the whole clip from the whole show. Let me put this out on our own Twitter account.
But is it their fault that she then gets hounded?
I feel like I should again point out I'm not in agreement with any of her points.
It's not about that.
I would know if I put that clip out on social media that people are going to give a shit. Of course. You've totally done it for that reason.
So it's not, there's no blame at all is apportioned to the people that are writing the horrible stuff.
No, of course, absolutely. Because if you go through their account and you see them last week talking about Caroline Flack and how awful what's happened to her and then doing it to someone, there isn't one rule for a person that we like and one rule for a person that we don't like.
I came this close this week. Again, the week we're recording this, to because I've got a long memory, so if people have been particularly horrible to me online, I'll remember and I'll screen grab it.
Yeah,
and not to then put it out, just so I've got it.
Sure.
So I can remember. And I saw someone who'd been vile to me on Twitter, really vile.
Right, publicly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some film reviewer.
Okay.
I hadn't even thought of that. Anyway, some film reviewer, that's all I'm saying about it. Some film reviewer, and she had butted into a conversation and she said that everybody hates me. Everybody in the comedy circuit hates me, which may or may not be true. I've got no idea. But, you know, I don't need that saying to my face if that's the case. That I was a misogynist.
Wow.
I don't know this person at all. Like, I've got no history with this person
at
all.
Had someone at her, or did she just jump in the conversation?
I think she knew the person on the other side of the conversation, right? I was having an argument, what I thought was a pretend argument, with someone who'd had a go at me about OCD, because on the podcast with Barry, because Barry's got really bad OCD,
I've been saying, no, I don't think it's a real thing. Right, so clearly on the wind up, you know, it wasn't, I was making a series, I wasn't doing a speech. I was clearly winding up Barry going, no, I'm not sure it's real. I'm not sure it's a real thing, right? And this person had got in touch with me and said, I really like the Parapod and I think it's very funny, but I don't like the stuff about the OCD. I don't think you should do that. And I was like, well, I think my first reply was, yeah, but is it real? I think it was something like that.
Something
like,
sensitive.
And they got quite aggressive, and I was like, well, don't listen to it then. You know, I'm not going to defend a joke. I'm not going to defend something that's clearly a joke and was clearly me just being mischievous and stuff. And that's when she jumped in.
Yeah.
And she said, don't get involved. He's a cunt. Everyone thinks he's a cunt and all this sort of stuff. And last week I saw her being very grand and virtue signalling, I think is the phrase, about how awful it is that people do these things on social media and all that. And it's like, well, I remember her doing it. I remember I remember that thing.
Yeah.
Not that I think that the crimes of the past should be burdened on you today, but
no, but
I found that interesting.
It's, but people do that, don't they? They like to jump. It's a lot of it is bandwagon jumping. Not only in piling on and being cruel to somebody, but in piling on and being overly virtuous, like, oh my God, we should be nice to each other. And I don't think anybody really, I think they're just joining in with the trends.
Do you think there might be an element to it, though, of self-preservation? Well, yes. it's sheepish,
it is.
But
it's that kind of,
there's also an element of if you're in the gang, then you're safe from the gang.
Yeah. Because, you know, it could turn at any moment.
Yeah.
There has been that on Twitter. I do remember a fairly well-known writer and...
Was it me?
I'm going to say comedian.
It was me.
I thought, who was in the... Remember when early days of Twitter, there was like the cool club of Twitter, the funny people, like the little group of a bunch of journalists, really.
Very difficult for me to see that when I was part of it.
Of course, exactly. But I wondered why this person hadn't been engaging with them. And she'd basically had tweets. And the reason why, because I read it on a Twitter, was like for something had happened. She'd had a thing with one of them and they all turned against her.
Who was it?
I'm not going to say.
Why? If it's a matter of public record.
Well, I think it is, but I don't know if they've made friends now or whatever. But okay. It was the person I was thinking of was Emma Kennedy. And there's other people where they were just always tweeting her and each other. And then suddenly I thought, oh, that's weird. I haven't seen them tweeting each other for a while. And I'd seen her reply. So she hadn't done it publicly, but she'd replied to somebody who said, what's going on? And she said that they were just really being really horrible to me. And when it was one of them, it was all of them. And it was like some sort of Twitter witch hunt, I guess.
Right, okay.
Which was interesting that there was...
Twitter's very like the schoolyard.
Yeah, it kind of is. The cool crowd. And sometimes that changes, doesn't it, as to who's the ones that are... It's quite cliquey, isn't it, with the different little groups of
Have you noticed a difference, Kitty, in your line of work?
Yeah.
With the way things are going that's sort of whiter than white in terms of... you know, people being very on it with feminism and all that sort of stuff. And I know you're in real life a little bit, so I know where you are with stuff.
Yeah.
But is there a marked difference now in terms of... Do you ever get under attack anymore? Or is that just something that... Are you just allowed to get on with what you're doing?
I have kind of moved on from it.
Right, okay.
I don't think... to be honest, now I principally do fire rather than burlesque.
Yeah. Could we just take a moment to mourn that?
No, don't worry. I still do the flaming nipple tassels. So
we're back on track. So.
Exactly.
No, so but do you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I think people have moved on in a way that they've moved a lot of their stuff onto Instagram. People get booked now because of how big their Instagram following is,
right?
How good they look on Instagram. And that was never a thing. It was a meritocracy in terms of performance before. But now you will get average performers being booked for higher profile shows because they have large followings.
Can't you buy that?
I'm sure you
can. But you can also check it and see how many are real or not. You can do like a little audit by yourself.
I remember doing a check on my one. This is years ago, so it might be different now. I remember doing a check on my Twitter years ago. And it said, like, about 2,000 people. And I was like, I've never bought any. I've never done
no,
that.
No, it doesn't mean that you bought them, but there's, like, bot accounts that just follow random people, like, with an algorithm of something paranormal.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It doesn't mean that you bought them because you
I
have.
I think I prefer it to be all bots.
Just all of them, yeah. I think 2,000 is probably averaging okay. If, like, 90% or 80% of your followers when you do it are bots, then you're like, okay, someone's been buying something. Someone's been buying something. Right. But you can't. It's public. You can check these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but I think it has there been a negative reaction to the burlesque industry as a whole, or does it just carry on surviving as it was?
I think it just kind of keeps trucking along. Honest, you know, because we don't really have kind of like big festivals and things in the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we have the Edinburgh Festival, which is
shit.
World's largest arts festival.
Are you doing anything there?
I've decided never to do it again because another summer in Edinburgh might kill me.
Yeah. What do you do? Are you dangerous there?
No, it's just the weather. It's the summer in inverted commas.
So it's not you just getting leathered and arrested every night? You don't mean that part of it?
Are you now banned from everywhere in Edinburgh?
That is also really tiring.
Have you ever been arrested in Edinburgh?
I've never been arrested in Edinburgh.
Yep. Where have you been arrested at?
London.
Have you? What did you get arrested for?
Somebody gay-bashed my friend, so I stepped in and punched him in the face. Right, and then I got arrested, which was really unfair because he punched my friend first.
So what happened to... Do you think that would have been different if your friend had punched them back?
I don't know. He was already in a heap on the ground.
Right, okay. Is this an ongoing case, by the way?
No. It's maybe like 15 years ago.
All right, tell me the entire story of this.
This very, very aggressive drunk man was in a 24-hour diner with me and a bunch of my friends. We'd finished a show.
Paint the picture of him. Was he big? Was he little?
He was like a big rugby player, kind of. Okay. I think he was from New Zealand. He was like a big dude. And he kept like trying to chat the girls up. And my friend, who is a very camp, thin man, but with an acerbic wit.
Right, okay.
Was basically telling him to leave us alone, but it kind of escalated.
How did he say that, though?
I can't remember. It was 5 in the morning, 12 years ago. I can barely remember my name. And, so the guy offered him out, and he went outside, and I was like, well, this is a terrible, terrible idea. So I ran out to, like, put myself in the middle, thinking, I won't hit a girl. He did try and hit a girl, but he missed.
Right.
But he really hit my friend, like, really square in the face, and his nose exploded.
Okay.
And he went down, and he went to go punch him again, and I was like, no! Like, threw myself in the middle as a policeman walked in.
So this was an arranged battle, though?
This was an arranged battle.
So it's not like he just mugged him or something.
He was calling him a series of gay slurs, incensed my friend. And then he was like, come outside. So he goes outside and my friend was like, how dare you talk to me like this, and followed him. And I was like, no, this is a horrible idea. Stay sitting there.
Yeah.
And it was a horrible idea. He got his face smashed him.
And when you hit the other man in the face,
it was a little bit like a gnat punching an elephant.
But did it have an effect?
He stopped and just looked at me like, what are you doing?
Right, okay.
That's not going to work. And then kind of looked as if he was about to hit me. And it was like 2 doors down from a police station.
And you were arrested for that?
He wasn't arrested.
He was too, right? Okay. We were both arrested. Here you went to court and got in trouble, and they let me out.
Okay.
Good.
While
the right outcome, I think.
Have you ever been done for out there?
No.
Have you not?
No, never been caught.
Have you not?
No.
Have you been arrested?
It's really not fun. I had to spend the night in the cell.
Katie, stop talking.
Sorry.
What did you just say, Nat?
Yeah, a really long time ago.
I did not expect that.
Just was it such a long time ago?
I'm queuing conversations. We're going to come back to your night in the cell,
Katie.
Yeah.
No, it's not fun. I'm not talking about this.
Don't admit it then. What happened? Where were you arrested?
What do you think I was arrested? It was something really... something. Don't do it.
Pissing in the street.
I was young. I was like 14.
Drinking.
15. No, it was taking something from a shop without paying for it.
Shoplifting. You went shoplifting. Mm-hmm. Did you? What did you nick?
It was a Now CD. Wasn't even one of the good ones. WH Smith.
And the store detective grabbed you and stuff?
Yeah.
And held you there till the police arrived?
Yeah, then I got taken to a police.
Oh, tell me about all this. You could have dropped him.
What do you mean?
You could have, like, fucking just gone on the rampage and gone, oh, you're not holding me here.
Oh, no, because I'm so tall. wasn't much more.
Could I got have stepped out of an upstairs window.
I got a caution, which has been taken off. It was so stupid. And the police, they were so lovely to me. And they went, I never want to see you here again. And I was crying so much that I went, I don't know why I did it. I don't even know why I did it. So, yeah.
But how old are you?
I think I was like... I would have been about 14, I think.
Right, okay.
So just a couple of years ago.
How exciting.
It wasn't an exciting time. I shit myself. I was like, oh my God. You know when you think...
Were you on your own or were you back with pals and stuff?
No, I was on my own. I wanted to try it on by myself.
Where did you... And how did you... What was your shoplifting... Or how did you do it?
Badly.
Really badly.
Just picked it up and walked out the shop.
I'm just going to borrow this. No, I think I just tried to put it in a clothing or pocket or something. It was just a disaster and I got caught and I was so embarrassed.
So you didn't even slight it handy? You didn't even put it up your sleeve or anything? You just literally
I think so. I think I just put it...
Tuck it off the shelf, put it in your pocket and walked off.
And then they were like, come back with us. You can't... I wasn't allowed in WH Smith for like 6 months, but that was all right.
Well, how did you manage?
I know, it's tough.
I bet your model railway went to shit during that time when you couldn't get your magazines.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to buy. You know, I couldn't get any chocolate because that's the only place you can get it when you buy something there and they offer you that jumbo bit of chocolate. When's the last time?
They do sell up WH Smith, don't they? They really try and sell you
really
up.
At the till when they're like, do you want this massive? I'm like, no, I don't want it. I'm sorry, I don't want it.
Yeah, bad for that.
I think they only have them at train stations now, don't they? I've not really seen many other WH Smiths knocking
about.
Oh,
no, there's plenty about.
Are there?
Yeah. Well, they stock 4020 magazine, the magazine I write for.
We love them then.
Which has got a poster on the back of it for the Parable movie.
I went in
the other day and turned. I felt awful.
I saw your tweet about that.
I turned one round.
It's all right.
No, do that. It's a
magazine that I write for. So yeah, I want the magazine to do well as well. It's like, that's about rugby, but I don't want them to suffer because they put an advert on the back of their magazine for
you
my film.
You could just turn them all like in turn, one turn round.
I did
that's
half
all right,
off.
Exactly. Yeah, it's off. Fine, I think.
Your night in the cells, please.
So I had to sit, because I'd been drinking, I had to spend the night in the cells because they couldn't interview me.
Yeah.
Even though I was totally fine.
Yeah, of course, but you're speaking loads of sense.
Absolute golden.
Well, it was not in the night, it was 5 a.m.
Like,
you said, 5 a.m. when you were arrested.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
well, let's just kindly say no more shit than usual.
But I was wearing this. Catsuit with like quite an open front, like a plunge front, and I still had my pasties on from doing my show before.
What pasties?
Oh, nipple. Pasties are like the nipple tassels, like the sparkly things
like,
they put over you.
Hides the can hide the nipples. You put pasty on.
Is it to hide the nipples?
I'm doing this with.
No, I refuse to look.
I'm doing this with.
What is it?
Mime.
Is it to hide
the
nipples?
So you know when you take your bra off and then you've got like.
You do know. Come on, you know.
You must know, like a.
What do you mean? What's the
nipple tassels?
Like, yeah, but you can also use them in films so that you don't get a nipple erection.
I know
under
what
clothes,
nipple tassels
right?
are.
Well, these are like, oh, I thought that's what you were asking.
No,
but
he's
pasties.
Just,
that's
what they're
that's
called.
Another that's, word for
yeah.
them.
Because Nat said, so you can't see the nipple in the middle of the water.
When you have them on in film, so you can't see if you've got, you know, like a hard nipple, but you would also make sense to put nipple tassels on with the same thing. Yeah.
Nipple tassels and pasties, what that's we call that's the same thing. That's what we call them.
Yeah.
I had some sparkly tasseled nipple tassels on, and they took me to the desk to book me. They took my stilettos off me because they were very high.
They're a weapon.
Whatever you use as a weapon. And then the female booking sergeant goes, what's that? And she kind of gestures towards my chest. And I was like, what? She was like, the thing on your... She was so embarrassed. And I was like, what? What are you pointing at? And she was like, the thing... And I was like, oh, these. And she was like, yeah, we need to take those too. And I went, all right. And I put my hand in my top, just wrapped him off and put him on the desk. And she was like, no. No, you have to go to the cell with a female officer. I was like, oh, sorry. Well, they're there. So I just like,
and all the other couples went, keep her in for the week.
So I pulled him off and whacked them on the desk. And she was horrified. And then I had to go sleep in the cell and it's really cold and it was rubbish and I didn't like it.
Do you wish you had the warmth of the nipple tassel at that point?
Oh, look. I don't know what
and I went to the cell and my nipples were freezing.
I don't know what I would have done with the nipple tassels in there, though.
But maybe you could have been hiding something in them.
Danced.
Could have had a blade in them.
That's true.
Could have had shivs. They could have been shivs. Yeah, could have been.
Have you ever been arrested?
No.
I knew you'd be a good boy.
No. It's a bit more canny than you two, I think. Probably. I've done plenty I could have been arrested for.
Yeah, you just haven't been caught.
Nah, never.
Oh, yeah, wow. I learned my lesson never to jump into a fight outside a police station.
So what would you be more insidious
that's
now?
What I've
just go, just
yeah,
go
yeah.
down the road.
Just down the road. Come on, guys.
I'll see you down the road in that alley in about 5 minutes. See you get on.
Well, what? With them cameras.
I've got another guest, mate.
Yeah, he's in
but what are you doing? Why are you here? What are you doing here?
I don't know. Just came in for a chat because on Twitter a while ago you jumped in and said, oh, I've been on the show for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why she's here.
He's been all the time, Aaron.
That's why she's here. To be honest.
You come in whenever you want.
Exactly. But then you're like, why are you here? Like, she's just here for a chat.
Well, no, she wondered if there was anything specific I was meant to talk about.
No, do you know what? I did email back when Irene messaged me and I was like, I've not really got anything that I'm invested in promoting.
Why don't you just sell yourself, I suppose?
Do you know what? You should all come to Circus London in Common Garden. It's a really fun place that I work, and they're very lovely.
When do they go there, though?
It's been there for 10 years. It's like a...
No, I mean, when you said that you should all come, what, just now, walk out of work right now and go there.
It won't be open, but they can queue up outside and make it look really busy.
That's the bit I'm getting
to. It's open from like 6 until, I don't know, like 2 in the morning.
Oh, that's good.
It's really fun. Tuesday through until Saturday.
Okay, Tuesday
they're
Saturday.
Very lovely.
Not today, then. Today's Monday.
Yeah, today's Monday.
Are you there every day?
That's why I'm hanging out with you.
Are you always there?
I'm there quite a lot if I'm in town, yeah.
Working or just sat there?
A bit both.
Are you using this like Tinder?
Am I using this like Tinder? Hey, guys.
Have you used my radio show like a fucking Plenty of Fish? She came up to her and said, I'll be hanging about.
What's Plenty of Fish?
It's a dating,
is that right?
I think it's a dating website, right?
That seems I don't know what...
Maybe it's not anymore.
Is it religious?
You know what? It's a thing on Plenty of Fish in the Sea, and I took it as some sort of lesbian dating
No, I think it's just general dating.
Oh, is it? I thought it could be the religious one, so they have fish on the back of their cars, don't they? Some religious people. Yeah, I think it could be one of those.
Like a warning, keep
away. Yeah. Plenty of fish, not for me. Too many. Like, too many on that website. Yeah, too many fish.
No gold in them there hills.
I was out for lunch yesterday, and we were sat next to a Christian couple on a very obviously a first date.
Oh, really?
It was really fun. I did not have a single conversation with my
I don't think I would have done. That would have been intrigued me.
I was just
their
earwigging. They were talking about Lent and, you know, like...
It's big time
things
for them.
That they were gonna, it was big time for them. Yeah. They were like, you know, they were going to give up a lot of things. Aww. It was fascinating.
And they were all
ready. She had a lovely
hold hands or anything? Flirting?
There was no flirting. It was the driest day I've ever seen. They were about... I don't know, I'm bad at ages. I reckon maybe like early 30s.
Oh, wow.
But what can you do in that scenario, though?
It was weird as well. Like, they'd gone for a Sunday lunch, which I feel like is a weird first date activity.
Yeah, but if you have strong-held religious beliefs and Christian and that, and you're into, and you start dating.
You don't want to go to a bar, do you?
But you don't want to get horny.
You don't.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, if you're getting someone like being all flirty
and
suggestive and stuff.
I'm going to eat so many Yorkshire puddings, I can do nothing after this. Yeah.
You wouldn't, could you be like,
I need to go home.
Because you know you're not allowed anyway, so it'd just
be
like
kissing.
Horrible.
You do a bit of kissing, I think, can't you?
I don't know.
What, under the table? Do you see their feet?
You definitely can't kiss under the table. You can't kiss anyone under
just
the table.
Really their feet awkward. Might be doing a bit of footsie or something.
Well, it might just be just like the actual, you know, it might just be fucking that you can't do.
I think you can probably do a bit of dry humping,
right? Yeah, top off.
And there's some people that have said they just don't do the front hole. A bit of back hole is okay because it can't get you pregnant. That might just be in films that I've seen.
Which films are you watching?
No, Kitty, can we first of all go back to some people say? And try and decide, try and find out who these fucking people are.
I don't know these people.
Who are these people now?
Oh, they're
good Christian friends.
It was in a film recently I saw called Mustang. I remember she went, I won't get pregnant because we've only been doing it around the back. It's fine. No one's going to know that I'm not a virgin.
So Christianity would cover anal. You could have anal sex.
I feel like we need a priest to call in.
I feel like you could get, I don't know if they like it, but you could technically say, if my hymen is still there, which again, you often lose before you have sex.
I'm just saying what happens though if they were like horse riding as a child.
Yeah, tampons do it, horse riding, swimming apparently can knock it out. So.
And in your case, there was fucking.
Yeah, there was that. But we'll stick to horse riding. Stick to horse riding.
What can we like email the Vatican or something and try and find out?
Yeah, I can see if we can get one of the Pope. He's a good Pope now, isn't he? He's a nice Pope, this one. He'll probably come on.
He has less kiddy fiddlery, I think.
Yeah, and he
claims it.
He's quite pro homosexuality.
We don't know what happens behind closed doors.
No, he's condemned them, isn't he?
Because isn't Joseph Rat? I can't even say his word.
I'm not getting involved in this.
I've got no idea.
Ratzinger before, yeah.
He's probably still in there in the rabbit warren with the altar boys.
This Pope's somewhere. All right, if there's ever a Pope that's going to come on the show, it's this one.
Yeah, right. Let's call him.
I mean, he probably won't come on the show, but...
He could
send a missive and tell us about his stance on anal sex.
I was doing a play on the word come. I was trying to do meaning on the word come.
Well, I think we were just yelling over
anyway.
You. Yeah. Like I was just repeatedly yelling kiddie fiddling over you.
This always happens to me in three ways. Kitty, it's been lovely to see you as always. And I hope you get, plenty of dates from your little little advert that you put out.
I've got a boyfriend.
Get down there. No, well, it doesn't sound like you do, by the way you're talking about.
Keep your options open. Always keep your options open, Kitty. You know that. Come on.
Thank you, mate. I'm going to see you again soon, please.
Yes. I live here now. I'm just going to move into one of the adjoining rooms.
Jay, you just turn up when you want.
Look,
ignore
her. We've got our matching hair. We've got our matching hats.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's going to be like a weird stalker. It's going to be
before
great.
We've got matching bed.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to flirt.
I'm going.
That's
now.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'm going as well. Where are you going? I'm going to follow you. Oh, keep forgetting it's the home of the double play. So here's Get Back by Al Green. It's only 2 minutes. Don't panic. I don't know how that can finish in 1 second. It's not. It hasn't finished. It's gone -1, -2.
That's spooky.
That seems to say
that
you went up.
Yeah. That it didn't finish when it was supposed to.
No, it's not. It's
speaking about spooky.
I mean, terrible, literally get
terrible.
That was possibly your worst one.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Genuinely appalling. We're joined now by Arthur McBain. Hello, Arthur.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio.
Thanks.
No one's ever said that.
I like it. Hello.
Yeah, and got away with that. You got away with it, no?
Why would I not?
It sounded right.
I think it was someone else that said like an affectation. I think with you, you sold it. I'm not even messing. I'm being serious.
Oh, I've been practicing.
Yeah, oh. It's like if I went, hey now.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Dude.
Yeah,
that's
I said sup earlier on as an ironic joke.
Wasn't natural, was it?
No, not at all. Sup. Not at all. But even hello.
Wasn't ironic or a joke?
Yeah,
just sup.
It's really good.
hello. That works.
Right, we've got to talk about a thing on ITV.
Yeah,
today is the 2nd of March, so this is starting in 2 days' time on the 4th of March.
Well done, Nat, for explaining how calendars work.
2 days' time. ITV1.
What would it? How long would it be if it was on the 7th of March?
I can only do basic maths. And I have to work that out.
Well, established that it is on the 4th of March.
Yeah.
Which is 2 days away
which
from
is in 2 days.
That's 2 days.
That's Thursday. That's
what if it was on the 19th of March?
It's not Thursday, it's Wednesday. Wednesday the 4th of March.
Oh, yes, I got that wrong.
She did this earlier on. Earlier on, I read out all the screening dates for the Parapod movie, and Nat was just talking over it, going, that's Wednesday, that's Thursday. And then it transpired at the end of it. She'd been looking at the wrong month.
I thought Good Friday was on a Sunday. I thought that was weird.
So it was just all wrong?
I used to have a housemate, honestly, I'm not kidding.
It's nothing to show off about. I wasn't going to question yet. Really?
I don't believe you.
Actually, I've got two now.
Have you?
Believe it, yeah.
Have you?
No, my old housemate, you used to be able to give her a date at any point in the future. Right. I'm talking like years in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
You tell her the date and she'd tell you what day of the week it was. And you could check it and it'd be right.
And where is she now? I mean, we know she's not got married.
Don't know where she is. Don't know where she is. She went, you know, she just sort of disappeared. And
she disappeared?
She did a puff of smoke.
Yeah. Like, should you be worried about
it? I said, what day of the week is March the 4th, 2073? Right. She exploded.
Right.
Wow.
That was it.
When you say that she could tell you the day of it, did you fact check it?
Of course I fact checked it. She just sit there and go, what day is that? Wednesday.
Anyone
Whoa.
Could do that. Yeah. I reckon I could probably do that.
Whoa, amazing, yeah.
Oh, well that's, why have you got a housemate? How old are you?
I'm 27.
27?
Yeah.
Have you got housemates now?
I've got two housemates, yeah.
Do you mean like your kids?
No. I'm like my mates, everyone are mates.
It's 27 years old and you've still got housemates?
Yeah.
It's not very unusual.
Is it not? I don't know if it is or not.
No, it's not.
It's not unusual. I'm fully expecting to still be living with them in my 40s.
Oh, yeah. Do you live in London?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Is it a necessity in London? You've got you'd have to do that.
Yeah, it's quite rare unless you're... And I don't know how much ITV1 are paying. You're on the prime one, so they should be paying you fair work more than two,
I've just noticed how blonde your hair is today, Nat.
Oh,
Maybe it's because you sat under a different... Is it a lot blonder than it was?
I had it done a few weeks ago, but thanks for noticing.
Looks nice.
Thank you very much.
A few weeks
ago,
when was that? Because today's Monday the 2nd of March.
So
what day was it?
I mean, I can't say February the something. Thanks for noticing. You didn't notice, Arthur. Thank you.
I've never met you before.
Good point. All right, fair enough.
Oh, I wish I could do that with her. I'd love that. Just to shut her down by going, I've never met you before.
Next time I see you, I'll be sure to compliment you on your hair.
Thank you. And I'll be like, actually, I've got roots. You didn't know this.
This is
doing.
Am I the only person here interested in promoting
The Trouble with Maggie Cole? ITV1 on Wednesday night, which is the 4th of March.
PR?
When you have to slag me off later on, just remember that at the beginning I did try and get
it's
it going.
Dawn French in. Dawn French is in it.
Yeah, she's in it.
Mark Heap.
Yeah, he's in it as well.
I'm seeing Mark Heap later on today.
Are you actually?
Yeah.
In Upstart Crow?
Yeah. I'm going to see it tonight.
Yeah, cool. Last week, you see what you saw it last.
Yeah, but when I'm talking
when
now,
I'm
going to go
now,
and see it tonight.
You see what we're doing.
Yeah. Go and see it. I've got a free ticket.
Great.
I didn't want it. I said I'd pay for it. And then they said, no, I have a free one. It's all right.
Wow. Great.
Take the free ticket.
Well, there you go.
Swan about.
Swan about in the stalls.
Swan about in the West End.
Definitely don't swan about while the play's on.
Might do.
Just stay sat.
Can if I want. I've got no emotional investment in it.
Just wander around the theatre.
What are they going to do? If you chuck me out, I'll be like, yeah, whatever. I didn't pay for it. I'm not bothered.
Well, there you go. Your logic is absolutely sound.
And also, I think if Rob sees me like just swatting about in the stalls and stuff, because I don't know where I'm sat, I would imagine it's probably a box. But if I'm not,
you've got your own box, I imagine.
If I'm not in my own box, then I imagine that Rob would see it from the stage, and then he'd have a moment of like, well, what do I do? Do I, because I know he knows me, so do I address that or do I just carry on being professional? Because he's not known for being professional, Rob.
Oh, is he not?
I think there's only one way that you can find out.
Is to actually do it. Yeah.
Do you know what? You sound like Ian. Ian's done this with guests before.
It's true.
Who was that lad that came in and had a big premiere and you went, I think it's what you should do during the film is get up and just throw things at the audience.
Yeah.
And he was tempted to do that.
Yeah, no, but a few shows in, you start realising that you've got to do that to stay sane.
There are moments in your life where your brain will suggest something to you. And then you have to then decide, is this the only chance I ever have to do this? And then you have to decide, do I then do it? Because it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Are you sure that maybe some? I feel
like
you two are related.
It's like streaking at a match.
It's like streaking at a match. Yeah. But that for me has been a twice in a lifetime activity.
Have you done that?
Of course I've not.
Have you? Okay.
No, but I will. It is twice in my life.
Have you ever done any streaking ever?
I have never streaked. I don't stroke.
The trouble with Maggie Cole is on the 4th of March.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Are we saying 9 o'clock, I imagine?
It's 9 p.m.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's on the
Dawn French is in it. Mark Keith.
Have a look on your planner.
Yeah,
Arthur,
Dawn French.
When's Dawn French in it? have you never done streaking ever?
I've never stroked.
Do you know what I did for the first time last week?
No.
Genuinely.
Go on.
The first time I've ever done it in my life.
No.
Skinny dipping.
Have you? Oh, no, yeah. I have skinny dapped.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I did.
This was in a foreign,
what do you mean,
a foreign land, wasn't it? It was hotter than here, right? You were away.
It was in a heated
week.
Swimming pool.
Oh, right. It was in a pool.
Oh, right.
I'll tell you what I've done before.
Yeah.
What I have done in the spa, when I used to be at the spa.
Yeah.
Not spa shop, like spa.
Yeah.
What I did do late at night in there was pop my shorts down to my ankles when I was sat in the hot tub. But
wow.
I was never brave enough.
Why? Why did you do that?
I was never brave enough to take them off completely because it was a pub. That was a public.
It was public.
Technically.
You've got to keep your ankles covered. I think is the main thing. Didn't matter that you were, but
it's like olden days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was this not public where you were last week?
No, it's private. So
I don't think it counts as skinny dipping if you're on your own, really.
Which means it doesn't count. I had no clothes on.
Yeah, but
what more? I had goggles on, actually.
Oh my god!
And a swimming cap.
I didn't know.
Think skinny dipping's got a little element of risk to it that you might get caught, your clothes might get nicked off.
People could have seen me.
Oh, okay, fine.
There were other, there were out. You could see into the area.
Okay,
but the area itself was privately owned.
Okay, where did you do yours?
This is really like you're being very vague.
I'm not meaning to be.
You were away, right?
So, yeah, it was somewhere that I was staying, so it was a private pool.
Okay, right.
So
yeah,
no one
could
have come in and just jumped in there with me.
Right, yeah.
But people from the surrounding areas could see into that pool.
And did.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Somebody actually did.
No, really?
Because it was a jogger.
Oh.
A girl just jogged really close to the pool.
Did she stop?
Yeah.
She didn't stop. I'm glad she was jogging because...
Well, she went from jogging to running.
It was genuine at the moment because what I was quite enjoying doing, right?
Yeah.
You know when you reach the end of the length?
Yeah.
Right? And you turn around and stuff.
Yeah.
And you push off with your feet. I was quite enjoying pushing off my feet.
Yeah.
And then like... I don't even know how to explain it.
Were you on your front or back?
On my front.
No, okay.
Right, so
he is acting this out.
Because I'm trying to explain what it was.
Yeah,
I would
front
sort
call,
of like,
front call.
I've got a video. I can show you the video.
I was like going under the water.
Yeah.
So when I went under the water, I was deliberately putting my bum out of the water before I went under.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, get that video.
I was really enjoying doing that.
You were breaching. I think that's the technical term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's on the 4th of March.
4th of March. It's Trouble got Maggie Kell. It's got Dawn French.
Dawn French is in it.
Mark Cape as well. Yeah, so I got really into it. I was really enjoying it. The freedom of it, Nat, you wouldn't believe it.
Really? How many lengths did you do naked?
Well, it was difficult for me to go. It was basically it was dragging along the floor of the pool, so it was actually getting quite difficult for me.
Right, okay, in the deep end. Got it. So
wow.
It was only quite a short shaky pool. I don't know.
Right,
how
to do. But and Arthur, you totally mentioned you've done some skinny dipping. Before. Where was that?
Yeah, I skinny dipped in the Thames.
I thought you were going to say bath.
I have a lot of baths
in the bath.
Yeah, like, good. Do you have a bath?
Do you bath?
No, often? Never. No.
Really? No. Why? Showers. Baths are way better than showers.
Fucking tedious setup.
No, not at all.
Takes ages.
Not at all.
It's about the build-up.
Don't like being sat down when I've got no clothes on.
That's interesting.
Why?
Because it squadges me up.
Okay.
Like that. Look even bigger than normal.
And obviously it's hard to contain it in a bath, isn't it, with your massive
I mean, can you
oh,
fucking...
Wow.
Ego.
Yeah, but I thought you actually meant gut at that point. I wasn't taking it as
no, you just said
as
you
cock. I was taking it as like.
Well, you just said you were swimming on a pool and it was hitting the bottom. I assume you meant
it
you
was
were
just
cock,
scraping
cock,
the end.
Right. Okay.
Dragging it behind me, Nat.
ITV1 9 PM Wednesday. Don't worry, you can watch it an hour later on ITV1+1.
Oh yeah, you can.
PM. Not in HD though, can you not?
I don't know. Cause it's not in
not?
HD.
I'm sure plus one isn't HD.
Well, there we go.
Okay, well,
it's the Arthur McBain of my life.
Oh, here we go.
It's all right,
that was, yeah, all right, well done.
Let's talk about it, come on.
Okay.
Promote it.
Where's the trouble with her?
It's got Dawn French in it.
Yeah.
It's got Mark Heap in it.
Yeah.
It's got Mark Heap in it.
I've never met Mark Heap. Is he nice?
Very nice. He'd come on. I was not in any scenes with him, but we'd cross paths. Oh. He'd be coming off set while I'd be going on, and he would come up really close and go, "Done any acting today?"
Brilliant.
There you go. That's Mark Heap, isn't it?
That's really good.
You'll see him later, as we've already discussed.
Let's see what you, thought of these people in real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dawn French, what did you think of Dawn in real life?
Dawn French is exactly as you'd want her to be.
Yeah.
She's just great. Actually, she had us. She had the whole cast and crew over for Sunday lunch.
That's nice.
Like, and we're talking like, there was a taxi driver there who had done one trip to the station to bring an actor to set.
Right.
And that taxi driver was at the lunch at her house. It was great.
So it was at her own house?
It was at her house, yeah. Right. And she put on a massive spread and we all went swimming. She's got her own pier. She lives in Foyen in Cornwall. She's got her own pier.
If I properly befriend Dawn French, I could plausibly go skinny dipping there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would recommend it.
I worked with her once.
Did you? Go on.
Yeah. I did warm up on French and Saunders.
Did you?
Yeah. It blew my mind. It was a really difficult night for me because I was trying to get over too many things. But it was brilliant. By then, it was really, really nice. Imagine this situation. Imagine being on a stage where you're already shitting yourself because you're working with two of your comedy heroes and you look into the audience and you see Aidan Edmondson and Lenny Henry just sat at the back looking at you while you're on stage. And thank fuck they were, and proper laughing.
Wow.
And that's the moment where you go, I'm fine here.
Yeah.
I'm amongst friends here.
Yeah.
But they were lovely. But I remember having a long chat with, I spoke to Jennifer Moore really that night. But I had a long chat with Dawn by the side of the stage when John Plowman was on doing his speech for some reason. And she was talking about people making fun of weight.
Right.
And she was saying, she said to me, do you find this, that you don't mind if you've done it yourself or with friends or whatever, but when somebody else does it, it really upsets you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it kind of doesn't, but I understand. She said, no, I find it really upsetting if somebody else who doesn't know me just brings it up.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But I'm happy to make fat jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was only when I got home afterwards that I was like, there was no mention of me being fat. She just fucking walked onto me. Just made a fucking beeline for me. And said, does it piss you off when people call you fat?
I was just asking.
It was
just
literally only when I got home that I thought that.
Anyway,
so
no, I adored her. I adored both of them.
She's great. Like, she leads. You know, she created a really amazing atmosphere.
Okay.
A really amazing working atmosphere.
Good.
And I think that's all part of being a lead, in a show, really, isn't it?
Julie
Hesmond Hall.
Yeah. What do you think of Julie?
She's boss.
Yeah, she really is.
Great.
I've worked with her as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me what you think of them all?
No, because I mean, well, I'm actually genuinely interested, even in the limited time. Let me just get this time up so I can actually see it. Because I'm on. Oh, we're fine. Yeah. We're fine for a few minutes.
Yeah.
I am interested to find out if it was a fluke the night I met them. Do you know what I mean? I'm interested to find out if it's like, oh, have I remembered that wrong? But I was blown away by Julie when I worked with her.
Yeah.
Like, and again, I was just doing a warm-up on something she was on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found her immense.
Yeah, she is. She is. I mean, she's just great. She. I had breakfast with her one day, and it was probably
fucking one. Why has he got her?
It's one of my favourite breakfasts.
I say, I work with Dawn French. I've been her house. I say, oh, I really like Julie Hesmond. He's like, oh, well, I had breakfast
with her. Because he's trying to outdo you. Did Dawn French mention your weight, Arthur?
No,
no, then better. You've already had a better experience. Yeah, you've got one up on that
one. You've just made it worse. Is all you've done there.
Yeah, look, I've never met Barry Dodds.
Yeah, and stop showing off. Will you please stop showing off? You can have him. Actually, I'll give you his phone number. Just have him.
Oh, yeah.
Text him. Do something with him. Yeah, you came into the studio all like giddy. Saying that you listened to the Parapod once.
Mate, honestly, when I got the email, say it. Not once. Actually, I just listened to your new episode you just put
please
up.
Please don't shout at me.
When I got the email saying that I was coming on this, yeah. I
blew your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I was
really
my hands
exciting
are shaking.
For about a week.
My hands were shaking.
You didn't sleep last night. I bet you didn't have any sleep last night, did
oh,
you?
Oh, do you know what? I've had an absolute nightmare this morning. Mm. My electricity meter's broken, and I don't have any electricity.
That's a shame.
It's ghosts. Yeah,
so,
it is.
So you can't download the Parapod, can you not?
You can use the Wi-Fi here.
Well, I'm using your electricity. I've got my laptop and my phone plugged in there.
Just do it. Have we met before?
We have never met before, no.
So how was it then? Like, as you were, because I was interviewing Kitty before you, just for you.
Yeah.
So how was that moment of, like, coming through that door and going, oh, God, I'm going to actually be in this company in a minute.
To meet a hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How was that?
I don't think hero is too strong.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's the right word.
You've been asking me what it's like to work and know Dawn French and Julie Hesmond or Mark Heap. But actually, what you should have been doing is asking me about this moment right now.
Has it occurred to you that I might have been setting this up to see if you speak about me in the same glowing terms that you speak about...
You see, and that's exactly what I'd expect from you, one of my heroes.
I'm horrific for it. You literally never know where you stand at any given time.
No, on your toes. But I feel like this is why you came in here with your attitude. He's listened to you before. Yeah. He knows he's on his A-game today. Like,
I've actually listened to the first series of the Parapod twice.
Right. Do you know there's others?
Are you going to watch the film that's out?
Yeah, so trying to get tickets. It's sold out in King's Cross.
Have you?
You said it wasn't earlier.
Have you? It's not. It's definitely not.
It's not. So that's how it's Islington King's that Cross sold out. I tried to buy a ticket.
Oh, right, okay. I'm coming.
Have a look.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it wasn't. Islington was sold out, so that's why I tried to buy a ticket.
Did you fuck?
I did. Wednesday at Abby's leaving party, I did.
We just leathered. I'm going to buy 20 tickets for it. I would give you tickets happily, but I'm I'm not allowed to.
We have to buy them.
Getting paid for them either.
Much are they?
I've got no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not having to buy a ticket to go myself.
No, sure, but, sure. No. That's a question. That
it's all recouping. It's recouping the budget, so it's got nothing to do with me.
It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, right?
It's 1 hour and 40. But
if
you want to just add another 40 minutes on it, by all means, do.
Oh, I thought
what
it
day
was
are we talking
back.
About.
I think,
London Everyman King's Cross
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Q&A after it.
I like
that
one. That's London Everyman King's Cross. It's a nice cinema that as well.
So I'm told.
It's really nice. I went to go and see Ghost Stories there. You know, the Andy Nyman.
Oh, so you'll go. Did you buy a ticket for it?
I did buy a
ticket. Oh, yeah, it's very big.
Yeah.
So you go see another ghost thing. We went to see something that apparently you're a big fan of. Yeah, that sold out.
So are you doing a Q&A, though?
Yes.
Okay, that's why it says it's
tell me if
there's tickets the red tickets are taken.
Oh, right. Oh, well, I'll see you there, then.
You could go front row if you want to.
I'm not going front row.
You could go front row, then, and that's where I'll be standing when I do the intro and the Q&A and that.
Yeah.
I can ask all the questions.
All right, yeah. I'll write down a load of questions.
So put your hand up and go, I was having breakfast with Dawn French over there.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've promoted your thing very well?
I don't know what it's about. So
I don't know anything about it.
Do you want me? It's about a small town in Cornwall. Okay.
Just so you know, have you got headphones on?
Yeah.
Just so you know, right, this is my outro music that I'm playing
now. Don't freak out. It's not just weird.
Because I have to.
How long have I got?
About a minute and 10 seconds.
A minute and 10 seconds, right. The trouble with Maggie Cole is about a small town in Cornwall.
The trouble with Maggie Cole is that the participants don't promote it well.
Yeah, well.
Quick, go. What's the matter with her?
There's nothing wrong with her. She's fine.
Spoiler alert.
No, Maggie Cole's fine. Maggie Cole makes a big mistake in the first episode and then takes 6 episodes to sort out that big mistake.
Is Dawn Maggie?
Dawn is Maggie, it's the trouble with Dawn French. And I play a character called Alex Meyer, who's a Coast Guard, and I get to like ride a speedboat, which is great. And I had long hair at the time, so I look a little bit like a Labrador with his head out the door, window of a car.
Is it just one scene that you're in?
I'm in one scene lots of times over 6 episodes.
Are you always on a speedboat?
Not always on a speedboat, sometimes I'm in a Land Rover.
Have you booked another supporting artist?
I haven't.
I'm not booked. Does it on the side. Listen, this works in Star Wars.
My character is called Man on Boat.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, there we go.
He was in that film, Judy.
I was in Judy.
Let's be quick, Matt.
Renee Zellweger. He's got a podcast. He's got everything.
I've got a podcast. Listen to that.
What's it called?
He's got a kids' book.
At your peril.
See you next week.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.